This week on the 30-Second Homebrew Report, Nintendo adds two convenient means for data access, which hackers are no doubt already using to attempt data manipulation and security bypasses. The two features, those being wireless QR code and web server-based image and video delivery and direct USB connections, are pretty damn convenient, so it benefits everyone except Nintendo's own security team. That's all for this week's 30-Second Homebrew Report. Now it's time for Orange on Radio with your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to talk more about this and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
A voice. It is another edition of Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 846 of our show for this December the 8th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me tonight are my co-hosts, although the video seems to be messing up, which is strange, but we'll get that fixed. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right.
Good.
It's been a day.
Yes. Yes. And now it's coming on over to the show here. But that's all right, because I'm having massive video problems and we can't see you yet. But we will get that fixed. Yeah. No, it's not your guys' fault. It's something weird on my side. I'm not sure what exactly is going on, but I will fix it. Don't worry. Mama will fix it. But we missed you last week. But I hope Dan had a great birthday.
He did. We had a chocolate orange cake.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Becky.
Mm-hmm.
And played some, you know, games and some pinball and really just hung around and had cake. There was cake, and it was not a lie. It was absolutely delicious.
Nice. So I just realized what is wrong and why it's not working on Discord. And this is a little bit of a vulnerability tonight. So I have to do some fixing live on air here. For some reason, we are all in the public chat tonight, not the private chat. So anyone could join the show at any moment. So I'm going to ask my co-host to please switch to the other channel right now. And that's the joy of doing live radio, but it also explains why all of a sudden my Discord was like, I don't see this window, because we were in the wrong chat room. And
I wasn't paying attention. I just joined the chat that Jamie was in.
You're fine.
Yeah,
it happens.
I wasn't paying attention. I just joined a chat.
It's fine. It's kind of funny, actually. I know so we do tape live, of course, every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwell show. And the chat is lighting up going, OMG, OMG, we missed our chance. We could have jumped in there and taken over the show. Orange Wright says accidental guest star. Fifth Dream says we could have all been famous. Bobby Blackwell says, it's funny now that it worked out. Bobby's pointing out he has special privileges, but he will not be using them, or he will find the privileges revoked. We'll go record on a different Discord. But anyway, no, I'm teasing. Anyway, hi, so now we got all that taken care of. But that's part of the joy of taping live, is that sometimes there's a little mess-ups. I actually kind of like that, because that was a little clue that something was wrong, and it told us that, hey, we got to go to the other channel. So it's interesting. Human proof. I love it. All right. Anyway, also joining us, of course, Techmaster Loki. How are you, Loki?
I'm doing good. I'm overly full. I made White Castle burgers. Well, like homemade White Castle burgers. And I ate way too many of them.
Now,
I'm kind of regretting it.
Here's the thing. I finally tried White Castle for the first time, because remember, this is one of those things that doesn't exist in California, like Waffle House and, you know, countless other. I was going to say Cracker Barrel, but that's not true anymore. They finally built those here. Steak and Shake. They were here for like 2 minutes and then they were gone.
There's still one in L.A.
Oh, is there? Not in the Northern.
Yeah.
Anyway. But you guys,
downtown L.A.
You guys know there's a lot of stuff in the rest of the country we don't have in California. So White Castle's one of them. So I had it for the very first time when I was in Las Vegas, of all places, apparently has one. But Las Vegas is a great place for food. And this was just like a year. No, it had been over a year ago, because it was pre-COVID and all this stuff. Maybe it was last fall, last spring, whenever I went and saw the Gwen Stefani show. We went to White Castle for the first time. I thought it was disgusting. I can't stand the way they cook the burgers there. They're like steam cooked. That is not the way. I don't need wet, sloppy meat. And no wonder only stoners like it.
It wasn't like that at all. And like I was tempted. The reason why I made them is because I bought like last week like these TGI Friday sliders, and they were just kind of eh. They look like they're better than the White Castle ones. I bought the frozen White Castle ones before, and they've been kind of, they weren't very good. They're all like soggy, like you said. So I looked for a recipe one at the store today so that I can make some. And I mean, it turned out really good. It's just that, I chopped up a whole large onion over the whole thing. And so I like onions, my family, not so much. And so it was a little too oniony for them. I thought it was great though, but the next batch I make just won't have that layer of onions on top. But I thought that's kind of what makes White Castle burgers anyways.
It might have been okay if it was cooked your way, like in an oven, as opposed to steamed. I think that was the part that turned me off the most. I was like, and the chat is all yelling at me, telling me how wrong I am. Y'all, whatever. You know, here's the thing. I'm glad that the California thing is in and out compared to that. Because as overrated as I think In-N-Out is, it's like I would never wait 12 hours in a line or whatever those people were doing in Colorado. What?
I agree with Bobby that Crystal is better than White Castle. I will die on that hill.
I don't know if I've had Crystal. I don't think I've had that.
Crystal is definitely more of a Southeastern kind of thing. They're not doing that great financially, but you know, I grew up with Crystal and Eaton corn pups. And there were little tiny corn dogs, and they had little tiny donuts too. It was awesome. It's just, you know, the best micro food.
That sounds like A&W a little bit. Like they're all almost all of them are combined with KFC now. But if you can find an A&W standalone, there are some out there, and that's the kind of stuff they have. Did you know? Fun fact: I didn't know this till recently. A&W started in Sacramento, where our show is based. Did you know that?
I actually did know that.
No.
Yeah. No, I never knew that till recently. I was like, oh, that's fun.
And I'll tell you where I was when I learned it.
Hmm.
In the mall that I worked at in Mobile, Alabama. So, yeah, one of my friends was a manager there, and she, you know, it was actually when I was going to be moving out here. She's like, oh, yeah, that's where the company started at.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's like even old ones out there, and they're not in a mall. What?
I think the most famous thing that was started in Sacramento. Okay, and I'm in this mindset today. Yes, we are a video game show, but you know what? Tangents, they happen. well, sure, there's that band. But I was going to say, because there's a meme going around on Twitter right now that is, describe how old you are with the name of a store. And a lot of people are saying Montgomery Ward's. Mervin's. I thought Alan's answer was perfect. Gemco. That's a great one.
Service merchandise.
What's that?
Service merchandise.
Oh, I didn't even know that one.
It became Best, I think.
Oh, Best. Oh, that's another one. But my answer was Mervin's and Weinstock's, my mom's two favorite stores.
Woolworths.
Yeah, that's a good one. And Weinstock's is another Sacramento thing. But here's the answer that is being said that I caught that is a Sacramento icon: Tower Records. Was started in Sacramento. That's why you have downtown, you have the Tower Theater.
Tower Cafe.
Yeah, the Tower Cafe, that's all right there. The Tower Records started in the back of the drugstore that was there.
It's technically not gone. They still have Tower Records. It's just an online site now.
Yeah, it's an online site, and I think they have standalone still in other countries where it was kind of like franchised out, but it does not exist in the way that it used to here in the States, because obviously a lot changed with the record industry when everything went digital. I think another way I could age myself is Virgin Megastore on Market Street in San Francisco. That was going to the Mormon temple for me. Okay, that was Salt Lake City. That was that was the motherland.
The Gayfer's department store, which was more Southern.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's get into video games. Let's talk about the kickoff topic for tonight. We have a big event in games this week. It's kind of like it's become the winter E3 over the years of sorts. The Game Awards are happening this week. They're happening on Thursday. I just found out they're earlier than usual, so I may not be able to do it live. It's 4:00 Pacific, so it's 7:00 Eastern, but that's to be a little more worldwide friendly. But it sounds like
it's even earlier than that. It says they have a pre-show starting at 3:30 Pacific.
Jeez.
That's when they're going to have 5 world premieres in there.
So 5 premieres during the pre-show.
During the pre-show.
That's
plus
crazy.
A musical performance.
I have to plug this, by the way, at the top of the show, because I think everybody is aware. Dark Soccer, you may not be because you weren't here last week because of Dan's birthday. But speaking of premieres, we have one for you on OLR tonight. Dark Soccer, you actually do know because I told you before the show, but act surprised.
Yeah.
So So our pal YYR has sent an 8-minute Pixel Poops Direct that we're going to be airing during the show tonight. I only know that's what it's called. I haven't seen it. I promised YYR I would not watch it, so I don't know if he's going to announce a Pixel Poops thing on Steam. That's my steamy poop. That's my guess.
Steamy poop.
That's my guess.
There's a sequel. Steamy shit.
There may be something else to it. I don't know. So we're gonna find out live tonight. We're gonna do that after Classic Game of the Week. So how about that, y'all? The pre game awards pre show here with our own reveal coming up later in the show. We love YYR for sharing his goodness here, creator of the fabulous game Super Multitasking, if you haven't played that yet. So we'll be doing that after Classic Game of the Week a little later in the show. That's where we used to do video segments before I got lazy and stopped making them. So thank you.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
You remember that? Yeah. Did you know also next week is our 2-year anniversary of being on Twitch, give or take?
Nope, I did not know that.
Even though our show started back in 2002 and we were on, you know, Shoutcast, which was gotten a variety of ways. Some people pulled it in through iTunes. Some people pulled it in through Winamp or whatever. The TuneIn app was really popular towards the end. Even though we were on that for years and years, we made the move to Twitch 2 years ago. Well, for the second time, we moved to Twitch. Because remember, we were on Justin TV in those years I lived in that house out in Rancho and we used the garage. I don't remember that. We were on Justin for a little bit. But anyway, in its current form, we've been on Twitch TV for 2 years, coming up next week. So pretty cool. All right. Anyhow, I'm sorry, Loki. We were supposed to talk about the Game Awards, but I had to derail with our own announcement. But please, tell us a little bit about what we're going to be expecting on Thursday.
So we're going to get a pre-show that they're going to start at, looks like, 3:30 Pacific or 6:30 Eastern. With already within just the pre-show, it's going to have 5 world premieres. So we'll have to see what that means. And then, of course, during the show, I'm sure there'll be a lot more than that. But that's kind of crazy. So it's going to be hosted by Sydney Goodman for the pre-show. And then during the actual show, we know that there's going to be an appearance by Reggie Fils-Aimé, who's going to be a presenter for the show as well. I'm not sure what category he's presenting, but that'd be pretty interesting.
And I think they've already let him do Game of the Year in the past, but maybe not, because maybe there was a perceived Nintendo bias if he did that. So maybe this will be the year he gets to do Game of the Year. I honestly can't remember, but I could see where they might be afraid of a Nintendo bias if they let him do Game of the Year previously. So maybe he'll do it this year now that he is technically no longer in the game industry at that level. Yes, I know there's GameStop board of directors. That's a very different thing.
Yes, and then apparently they're going to have one of those premieres that we're going to see is the next Dragon Age. They're going to have a special look at the Game Awards, which I'm assuming is a little bit more substantial than they did during the N7 stuff. I think that's when they were showing off all that.
I hope so.
So, yeah, we'll have to check it out. It's just a few days away.
Yeah, very excited about that.
Yesterday was unofficial Dragon Age Day.
There was some crazy stuff, though, but we'll get to that later in the show. It's coming up. Yeah,
okay.
When I say BioWare, there was some crazy shit that went down this week, but we'll get to it. All in good time. All in good time. Big announcements for Game Awards. I mean, I've been calling it kind of like Winter E3 because, you know, Jeff's done a really good job ever since he kind of took over what Spike TV kind of had. That thing, and he tried to really legitimize it. And I would say, you know, we've been critical of the process sometimes, but the result where we're at now in the year 2020, or at least, you know, or I should say 2019, the last one we've actually seen, far better than any gaming award show we've really seen to the present. So Jeff has really transformed the show in a great way, and he's been getting some great game exclusives. Let's not forget, last year's Game Awards gave us the huge reveal of the name Xbox Series X and what it looked like and the actual reveal of that console, which people were not expecting that early on. That was a huge deal. Could we see the often rumored Switch Pro jump out at us this Game Awards? I don't want to set expectations at an unreasonable level. I'm just asking hypotheticals. Expect nothing and you'll always be pleasantly surprised. But any thought, could Nintendo drop a huge bombshell on that level? Any thoughts, Loki?
I mean, there could always be the new... sure, why not? I don't know what huge announcements they would have. I mean, maybe I don't know. We could maybe, I'm trying to think of something like at the caliber that they would probably do other than like a direct of their own. Maybe a new trailer for the Super Mario 3D world that they're doing, how they're re-releasing it with some additional content. Maybe they'll do something for that. Maybe they'll put out a fifth Pikmin game.
I could see, you know, Nintendo, I feel like, has always been pretty good with the Game Awards, and Jeff always, you know, had a great relationship with Reggie Fils-Aimé previously, and I don't see why that hasn't continued with Doug Bowser at the helm now in America. You know, they did a real deep dive on Zelda Breath of the Wild when that was still anticipated. Maybe we might see some additional footage of Breath of the Wild 2. It has been quite a while. I know we're not really expecting that until maybe next holiday, but that would be quite a treat. You know, what first party games do we know are happening that we've seen footage? Okay, there's the Mario 3D Land, so there's which technically we've seen before because it's on Wii U, on Wii U. What Nintendo games at this point do we know are happening and we've seen footage? Okay, Breath of the Wild 2 is one of them. Metroid Prime 4 is not one of them. We just know it's happening. We have never seen footage.
I'm trying to think.
There's not a lot. So that's kind of why I'm like, Nintendo might use this opportunity because, yes, they could do their own Direct, but this would give them the opportunity to have a very big audience because, you know, the Game Awards gets, you know, everywhere. And it would kind of relieve the pressure of needing to announce 20 different things or 10, even 10 different things, 5 different things by just doing one big thing at the Game Awards. That could be very interesting. Maybe they will announce that there will be a tournament they're going to not cancel in the future. I couldn't resist. Sorry. It's pretty fucked up. We'll get into that later in the show.
I don't know. It would be a good idea for them to announce something because they have a different audience, I think. And, you know, if you're trying to kind of sway people to come to the Nintendo platform, you know, the Nintendo Directs are good, but that's kind of like more like I'm already invested in it. And so I'm curious to what's coming out. Not necessarily, you know, grabbing the attention of someone that might not be, you know, in the Nintendo camp right now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Loki, you just made an excellent case on why they should reveal the Switch Pro this week. Again, I want to be very cautious about where I set the bar for expectations. I am completely...
This would not be a good week to announce the Switch Pro right before Christmas. Like, not a good idea. I think...
But they did... The Xbox was fine. We know...
Yeah, but the Xbox, they announced it, but, like, we knew it was coming already, and they announced...
Loki,
that,
we
like,
all know the Switch Pro is coming, too. Come on.
Yeah, but it's not confirmed yet. It's not like they were, you know, saying, hey, we have this project, blah, 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 you know, project, you know, Waluigi's never going to be in Smash. You know, they don't have something that they're teasing, but then they're like, okay, and here's what we're calling this console we've already told you kind of that is coming. They haven't said that. They've denied that it's coming so far. I don't think we'll get an announcement for that until after Christmas, after the holiday, because they don't want to cut into their sales immediately. Oh, it's like, okay. Oh, yeah, I'm going to buy the Switch for my kids, and okay. Oh, I've got it all wrapped. It's under the tree. Fair. Oh, hey, Daddy, guess what? Switch Pro's coming out.
Yo, fuck Santa. Okay, no.
I like you very much.
All right, you made a good case, and then you immediately took that case away. Good job, Loki.
It's just like Nintendo. You can have your tournament, and now you can.
Okay. But I like the idea of Nintendo using the opportunity to show something to an audience they don't normally get. I like that idea. So show a game that might appeal to a very, very broad audience. It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to see that. So
they'll just announce that Games Pass is coming to the Switch, and we'll all be like,
oh, you want to? Oh my God! Wouldn't that be a mic drop? Holy oh my God! I can't even imagine. Like they're speculating, and then there's living in that world where Game Pass is coming to the Switch. That's a stretch. Like there's a lot of reasons why I think it would work, but there's also like a lot of things where I'm like, I don't know if that would really happen, but we'll see. We'll see. All right. Anyhow, so we'll see. The Game Awards scheduled to happen on Thursday. We will be co-streaming the event because Jeff is all about getting as many people to stream it as possible. So you are allowed to kind of co-stream it with your own commentary. So we are going to do that Thursday night. Bobby Blackwolf will be here for sure. Some combination of Loki and I will be here. Maybe Dark Soccer if she's not working. I don't know. But that will all be Thursday night right here at VOG Network. And we try to do our commentary in a tasteful way. We're not going to crap on everything we see. Right, Loki? We're not going to crap on everything we see.
I would hope that it doesn't require that.
For the record, I work until 8:30, so.
All right. So no Dark Sakura. So Loki and
I like paying my bills.
That's fair. Good point in our chat. YYR says they did tease big Game Pass news this month. That's right.
But wasn't that Control though coming to the Game Pass?
No, there's been a tweet after that was like, "Oh, y'all, we're just getting started." And I think it even said something about the Game Awards, like they're going to announce another. But like, in my opinion, they could leverage the Bethesda thing to be like Skyrim, Oblivion, now on Game Pass. And that would still qualify as a big game drop, even though those games are how old at this point and how many people have played them. But I think it would still make headlines for more of the Bethesda catalog to make its way to Game Pass. So like that's my realistic place to set the bar. The Nintendo thing is living in fantasy land. Let's be real. But weirder Fine. Things have happened in this industry. So, all right. Okay, so that'll be the Game Awards Thursday night. Let's move on and talk about our gaming weeks and the types of games we've been playing this week. Maybe our games of the year, maybe not. Dark Sakura, why don't we start with you? How was your gaming week?
It was Animal Crossing-tastic, and I got Fire Emblem, the redone in English Fire Emblem.
Oh,
I haven't started it yet.
Yeah, I forgot that came out. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't very expensive.
Little
Cuphead. Mostly it's just been because of some goings on, and with Dan's birthday and some stuff. So a lot of Animal Crossing, because that's still my jam. Still playing in my little virtual world because it's a lot better than the one that sucks.
All good. So when I say, were you playing your game of the year? The answer is yes, you were.
Yes, I was. No, I'm. It's game of the year for me, absolutely. And on top of that, though, I actually am thinking of getting Ring Fit, considering
it's neat. I have it, but I had a lot of problems. I can't get that. I can't get the strap on to stay on my leg. It keeps slipping off. Like, I don't know what.
Let me borrow it.
Let me borrow that top. Let me borrow that strap.
You're not using it. I want to use it.
Don't be a bitch.
But I mean, I've been, I might have mentioned this before. I've been really putting a lot into personal fitness, and I weight train 6 days a week. So I was looking for something fun that would supplement it. Either that, or I may be hooking up to play DDR again.
You
might
should.
Have one of my home pads.
I miss DDR.
Yeah, or maybe Para Para, but that means I'd have to dig out the PS2 and everything. But look, I have the gun show, kind of.
I still kind have. Of. Is it here in the studio somewhere? You may or may not remember. I have that unopened PlayStation 2 copy of like DDR Extreme 2 that also has a dance mat. So there's a brand new dance mat. I don't even know where the hell that came from. I can't remember. Like,
well, if people look behind me on cam, those that are here, we had to clean out our garage because we put in a new floor, and there's just like some of the stuff like, oh, I forgot I had that. Oh, I forgot I had that too. Oh, look, it's the Dreamcast dance pads, blah 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 blah. So
out of curiosity, did you carpet your garage to give it that pinball arcade feel? Or
no?
Oh, I thought you might have.
No. Dan was like, yeah, we're gonna put up like a brick veneer or something on the walls, and make it look kind of like old school barcade-ish. And I'm okay. Like, no, if you want to look like an old school arcade, you have to carpet half of the wall.
True story. No, true.
And this has actually happened to me twice in my life from wall carpet. Once I got knocked over by some asshole at the time, it was the old Aladdin's Castle right after my little brother had gotten hit by a car. It was that same night that that we beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with a bunch of strangers where they kept paying for me to play, and then they shut down the game as we won. But I got pushed into the wall and got rug burn on my jean-clad legs that tore through the jeans. The only other time that happened was roller skating.
Why did some asshole push you into a wall? Fuck those people.
He was just a big person that didn't notice, you know, little... And at the time, I was shorter, so I was like 5'1" or something. I'm 5'3" now. Hmm. So, yeah.
Still.
I mean, that's...
Still.
Yeah. Now, though, if someone pushes me, I'll push back.
Push them right back. Going to our chat for some comments on Darksiders Gaming Week. SSJ100 Matt talking about Ring Fit, saying, I used it a lot during the pandemic. It's a hard workout and really fun to play. I lost some weight playing it earlier in the year. Then I gained some of it back by being lazy. Misty OLR is cheering, yay, bring out the biscuits, because Parapara, the home version, had those pink biscuits. Or you could get that knockoff version for the Dreamcast where they were like that ugly green. That like
that.
I have those.
Yeah, right. Bonds 006 says, where's the Wii dance pad? There was one of those too, but that one's a little harder to find.
I drew the line at the Wii.
Yeah. Anyway,
No DDR party?
No DDR party or Mario. No. What was DDR with Mario or whatever it was?
GameCube, though.
SSG100 Matt suggesting strap it directly onto your leg and not on workout pants or shorts. I do. And I was like double looping and trying to like make sure it was like super tight, like cutting off, and it still would like slip off. So I don't know. I don't know if I was just doing it wrong, whatever. I think I probably have to do it a little more like above the knee, so it kind of puts it in place, but I just, it didn't.
Were you supposed to put it like on your calf or something?
Yeah. That's how it measures you going up and down.
Okay. Now that's kind of annoying. Maybe I won't play that.
Try. I'm the only one that seems to be having problems with it. So, I would say try
we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right.
I'll find it somewhere. So, all right.
Okay.
Let's move on. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't play a whole ton today. My kids got me to play a little bit of Minecraft. So I did play that. I was also fighting with Microsoft because they have me paying for my Realm 3 times. And so they keep saying, oh, your subscription's about to run out, which is weird because it's supposed to auto-renew every month. And then so I click, okay, fine, just, you know, renew. And then so it starts a new one. So I found out that there's three going concurrently, which it's all messed up. So I finally got those canceled, and hopefully they won't come back. But this is the second month I've had to do that.
Weird.
So it's kind of annoying. But we were able to play a little bit, and so that was fun. And mostly this week, like I said, it's just been working on my game and stuff. So still chugging along with that. I also did power up the Series X to try to acquire certain apps to play games. And apparently there's a lot more steps that I need to do that I can't do because apparently Microsoft Edge doesn't come preloaded on those systems anymore. Kind of weird, but because I thought that the Xbox had a web browser, but apparently
it does on mine.
I can't find it on mine. So
go all the way down to the pins. Yeah, that's weird. Maybe I downloaded it in my apps. Yeah, it was down in the pins for me.
But did you get it? Did you have it on the Xbox One and now you have it? Because like I did have it
on Xbox One, but it didn't just copy things over from my Xbox One.
Maybe
because my Xbox One
somewhere.
Has been disconnected from the network.
Yeah, we'll get into it. Well, soon we'll get into it soon. But to get RetroArch on there, there is a way you can get to run on the retail one, the retail side, not in the dev mode, which we're going to talk about. But it's a workaround that one of the developers has to push something out. And you have to download it through the browser. So they're trying to block it, or Microsoft will be blocking it soon. So I'm trying to get past that before they do that.
Bobby is saying you do have to download the app, and YYR is suggesting I might have pinned it on Xbox One. Maybe. I don't remember doing that, but I might have. Because I do remember you could listen to OLR before we were on Twitch, because I mentioned at the top of the show the whole Shoutcast thing. You could actually listen to it, I think, on Xbox One's browser. I don't remember if that was at vognetwork.com or if I had to use a different site to do it, but I remember doing that. So maybe
I tried searching in the apps, because they have a search function to pull up apps and stuff, and I searched Microsoft Edge, whatever, nothing came up. Web browser, So like I can't access it, which I'm like, whatever, at this point it doesn't matter, but like I just thought I'd try it.
Maybe that's their weird workaround until they patch the issue, is that you can't get it right now unless you already had it. But that would be strange.
Maybe.
That would be very strange. Yeah. That's a weird theory, I know. But all right. Well, if that's it for your gaming week, Loki, then my gaming week, I've been playing some of the similar things I've been talking about in past weeks, Final Fantasy 14. We get a patch on Tuesday, so that's really exciting to get some new content. I'm excited about that. New dungeon, new story. That'll be cool. Continuing to play Pokemon Go. They have that event, that just the Kalos region, sixth generation of Pokemon, X and Y, those games, just got their Pokemon in Pokemon Go. Well, some of actually... only a handful. It's really the starters and a few other Trashymon, and you know, that's about it that they have right now. And for me, I'm finding it's very easy to find Chespin. Like, I could probably pull up the game and there'd be two on my house right now. Excuse me, Fennekin. Those, they're around. They're not too bad to find. Froakie? Impossible. I had to use the radar. I went downtown and would keep checking the phone to see if the radar showed the Froakie shadow. This was hilarious. It was at an apartment complex. I have to illegally park my car, jump out of the car, run over to where this fountain was, where the Froakie spawned. I don't know if it spawned because it recognized a Pokestop called Fountain or what, or if the pool there was enough water to cause the spawn. I don't know. But I get over there. And there's fucking construction going on, and it's all walled off. There is no fountain. It's just a bunch of construction. So the Pokestop really shouldn't be there anymore. But I was telling Shane, I was like on the phone with Shane or texting him, telling him this entire experience as it was unfolding. And I was like, son of a bitch, there's fucking construction here, and I just illegally parked my car, and then the Froakie isn't fucking showing up because I was only able to see like the eastern half of what was on the Pokestop. I had to basically walk through the pool area like I live there and deserve to be there. And that allowed me to get just enough to the west side that I got my Froakie. And then after I went through all that, what happens during the quest line? A quest pops up. Catch a Froakie. Motherfucker. I just caught a Froakie and now I don't have the radar anymore to help me. So I had to go find a second Froakie. And what worked for me, I went to, if you know the Sacramento area, you might know the fish hatchery. Loki, you've got to know this. Over at Hazel, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, water spawns. Water. Well, I was going to go to Old Town Sac on Saturday, but then I heard the protesters are at it again. So I didn't want to touch that. So I was like, where can I go that's not downtown? So I was like, I'm going to go to the fish hatchery. And I did, and it worked. There was a Froakie there. I had to walk all the way down the trail to the very last Pokestop, but there was a Froakie there. And so I was able to catch that for the quest. So that made me very happy. So, we're looking in chat for some of the comments. S2100 Matt says, I found one in the past few days. Oh, the interesting thing about finally catching that first Froakie, I get back in the car and there's another shadow on my radar. And I'm like, what's this? And apparently it was a Noibat. I might be saying that name wrong, but it's like the rarest of the new spawns. And it was just over by the Lady Gaga mural downtown. It's legit. There's like all these murals because of the wide open walls. There's like a Lady Gaga mural over by the Starbucks, a Golden One. So it was there. So the Noibat is a fan of Lady Gaga, apparently. So anyway, Bobby Blackwolf says, I get back in my car and the tow truck shows up. No, luckily, I was like, can I be in a white zone after 6 o'clock? And as it turns out, no, you cannot. I looked up the regulations later on, but I was like, I'll be back before the tow truck gets here. So anyway, that was my Pokemon Go experience. Now, that lended itself to actually playing the mainline Pokemon games. I talked a little bit about like playing Pokemon Home, and I've actually gotten into that a little bit more. I loaded all of my Mon from Sword and Shield into the game from the Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. I put them in there. So I have my Pokédex in Home up to about 230 or something like that, which is a shamefully low number when there's probably, what, like 800? I think it's 898 altogether right now. But it's a start for me. So that's going to allow me to go back into Sword and Shield. I've actually been playing Shield, and I caught maybe like 12 more things for my decks the other day. So it's been a slow process, admittedly, but I just got obsessed with sorting my Pokemon and organizing my Pokemon. I made another spreadsheet. Well, I take that back. I stole what Shane was doing and I made a spreadsheet that worked for me from what he started and all of that to track all of my Pokemon and home. So that was kind of fun. So that was that. The other big thing for my gaming week on Xbox Game Pass, Dragon Quest XI, The Echoes of an Elusive Age, the definitive edition came out on Xbox. It's the first time that a Dragon Quest game is out on an Xbox platform. I didn't really realize that, but that is true. And this also came out, I believe, on the PlayStation 4. And these are versions of a Switch title that came out previously. So the definitive edition was first out on the Switch. And of course, the game itself was out in what, I think 2017 on the PlayStation 4. And if you were in Japan, the 3DS. So I played it a little bit on the PlayStation 4, but the game is very long and I didn't get far enough. I got maybe 12 hours into it the first time. And I've put in about the same amount of time now on the Xbox version over the weekend since, you know, there's nothing else to do in the world right now. I am staying at home. Thank you very much. And so I'm playing, well, besides my walks, that's all I really do. And then I play Dragon Quest XI. So I'm back up almost to where I was the first time I was through the game. I like it. I think it's a great JRPG experience. Some of my criticisms the first time I played the game, I criticized the soundtrack for the game. They actually did change the soundtrack a little bit. They, instead of having the MIDI synthesized versions, which I don't know why they thought that was a good decision. I think they thought it would make, there's been a lot of strange decisions in Dragon Quest XI where they wanted to throw back to the original or be respectful to the original. And, that's cute, but it doesn't really work like in the year 2017 or 2020. I like that it's an option. You can do that, but you can go back to the synth stuff if you want. But now they have some orchestrated versions that they do sound a whole lot better. But that leads me to the other big problem with this game, and that is that the soundtrack just isn't good. Like, the soundtrack's not good. And I know that's weird to say about a game like Dragon Quest, because you think of like, oh my God, but Dragon Quest has like iconic themes and iconic music. Yeah, that were written for the first Dragon Quest game like 30 years ago. It's now the 2010s, not the 2020s even, because I say 10s because the game originally came out in 2017. But we are way past that now. And here's the thing. The composer, he's got to be pushing what? He's like 89 years old now, I think. So he was making a lot of this soundtrack when he was in his 80s. And I don't want to be ageist or nothing. Like, I think it's great that he's still continuing to work and whatever and work on the games, even though he's had some weird stuff personally, but I'm really trying to just like overlook that and look focus on the game. And the reality is, like, I don't know if they feel some type of onus to the guy to like let him continue to be the sole person that works on the series, or if he has some type of weird creative control over it. But yo, Square, it's holding you back. Like, we're at the point where the soundtrack is holding the game back. So I really hope for Dragon Quest 12 you're thinking about mixing it up, because I'm telling you guys, the battle theme, the world theme, they get really old and really stale because they are the only things you're hearing over and over and over. And then recycled town themes over and over. So my fear is that the guy was only contracted to do so much work that does not fill out a 100-hour game appropriately. Sometimes you need to ask for help, and I think the series needs help as it goes into Dragon Quest XII. Let the guy do the main theme and one or two other songs, and let someone else come in and fill out the rest of the soundtrack. You know, look at what's happening with the Final Fantasy series. You know, Nobuo Uematsu. I don't have a negative thing in my heart to say about Nobuo Uematsu, and he's done some great things, great music. He stepped away from a lot of the music making for health reasons some time ago. He still contributes tracks here and there, but for the most part, recent Final Fantasy games, namely 14, have been filled out by other people. And let me tell you, Soken and what he does for Final Fantasy 14 is phenomenal. And he's absolutely worthy of creating the music for the Final Fantasy series. It doesn't lessen the value of what Uematsu has done, or better or worse or anything like that. It's something that is able to exist and represent the brand still very well alongside what Uematsu did. Let someone do that for Dragon Quest. It's time. So I know I'm like going off on the soundtrack, But you guys, seriously, and I'm curious, I haven't really been reading the chat. Sorry, I'm going to go back and read some comments here in a minute. But, like, play the game yourself and tell me that, like, every other facet of this JRPG is a superior JRPG. But then you find that there's this one element that's like, something just grates on me about this game, and I don't know what it is. And then you realize, oh, the music, it sucks. I would honestly rather listen to WAP as the background music, and it would be less repetitive.
Oh, that'd be funny.
I would, honestly. So now, the definitive version will allow you to mix in the Dragon Quest VIII soundtrack, so you can actually play that in the overworld. That says to me, Square knows it was getting thin. And, like, you have to supplement it with old music? Hello, that's a problem. Bobby Blackwolf says in chat, I'm an hour and a half in, and I already am tired of the battle music. It doesn't change. No, there's no boss music either that I've run into yet. Questbuster says, the thing is, the Dragon Quest series is all about being traditional. The fact that people love the series enough to make a DQ11 still is a hit, despite relying on decades-old tropes, is a testament to that. When you buy a Dragon Quest game, you have to kind of expect that. Not saying the series can't grow, but right now, that's pretty much the expectations of what Dragon Quest is. In my opinion, and the remake kind of shows this, you can have all that exist alongside something modern. Because, like, you know, you have the retro mode in this game, which is basically the 3DS 2D portion that is something you can play standalone. I thought I would be super into it. I don't like it. It's missing stuff that the 3D version has, and I didn't like that. I didn't like that there wasn't any voice acting whatsoever. It's there if you want it, and I found that I didn't really want it. So I think something has to be done with the music as well. So anyway, let's see. SSGO100 Matt says, kind of makes you want to mute the music and find some OC remixes that are made by fans who care. Yup. Let's see, other comments here. SSGO100 Matt says, I feel like this was an issue last game. Well, we never even got 10 here, which is a whole nother issue. But yes, I believe 9 was criticized for some similar things as well. And then let's see. YYR in chat says, I think the MIDI soundtrack was because the jerk music director insists on it. He's always done the music, and it's always been MIDI across the initial releases. Also, he is actually a jerk. I have heard a lot of that as well. And again, I'm really trying to separate that from my criticisms. But all I'm saying is that those types of decisions that they feel beholden to some sort of traditionalism when they've allowed Final Fantasy to progress for better, 14 or worse, 15, I don't understand why they feel they must hold it down to a certain standard. Have that version of the game coexist alongside a modern version. There's a lot of things about Dragon Quest XI that are very classic that I like. Like the fact that it is relatively still a turn-based battle game, that they don't try to do a lot of fancy active time battle stuff where you have to pull the trigger at a certain time or do these, you know, push the directions. You can even walk around the battlefield, but you don't really have to. It doesn't really do anything. Like, I don't mind that. Like, that sort of traditional JRPG, in that sense, I think a lot of people miss those, actually. So I'm fine. None of that bothers me. And the traditional sense of that, that's what I really like about the game. So anyway, even though I sound like I'm very negative because I can't shut up about the soundtrack, I do really enjoy Dragon Quest XI. I really like the story. I like some of the voice acting and some of the character development that goes with it is fine. The voice acting can be a little bit over the top, but I like what they do with some of the characters. There's some really funny, witty things. There's this thing involving haikus. I don't want to spoil it, but I found it. I'm like, this must have been the biggest pain in the ass for the localization team. And I thought it was very clever. So there's a lot to love about the Dragon Quest 11 remake. And if you have Game Pass, download it. Check it out. Just have your Spotify ready to go. All right. That's my gaming week. Whew. All right. By the way, before we get into tonight's gaming news, I will point out, if you would like to have, for those of you that are watching live on Twitch, you might notice I'm wearing a lovely blue Vogue shirt with Jamie's Vogue logo on the corner there. If you would like to get a shirt, you can check it out over at the VOG Network shop, vognetwork.com/shop. And we just recently added Loki's OLR pixel design. We got a new shirt that's kind of like a baseball shirt with that on it. So I'm curious to see how that turns out, because you just bought one of those, right, Loki?
I did last week, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, check that out, vognetwork.com/shop. Anyway, let's get into some gaming news. Loki, you were kind of referring to this earlier, right?
Yes. So, of course, being that the Xbox One and even now the Xbox Series X and Series S had a universal window, UWP apps. So basically these different apps that you could download and run. So it could be anything from, you know, applications like, you know, Twitch or... you know, even like web browsers and other stuff like that. You can download different things onto the system. You may have also forgotten that starting with the Xbox One, you could also turn your console into a development platform. So there's a way to actually put it in dev mode and be able to download things to this and also develop games on it. Well, one of the things that you can download is RetroArch, and RetroArch, of course, being a emulator platform for lots of different consoles. And at the very least, in dev mode, you can actually emulate quite a few games in this. In fact, it even emulates PlayStation 2 titles a little bit. There's some bugs there because the kernel is still a bit early. But it does emulate stuff really well on many of the other platforms. They also even have a dedicated PlayStation Portable emulator as well outside of RetroArch that you can put on there.
Can I get OLRPSP.com on it? I don't think that website's actually up anymore. It's long gone. Sorry.
I don't think so. Yeah,
I do think if you go to orangeloungeradio.com/PSP, I think it's still there. I never got rid of it. Our site hasn't changed in like 20 years. So
yes, it is still there.
So yeah, if you want to see, it's still there. So it's just not, it doesn't have its own dedicated domain anymore. That's all.
Yeah. I don't think it's necessarily, yeah, it hasn't been updated. Well, it still has the feeds in there
Yeah. It probably still pulls the RSS. So it probably in that aspect is still up to date. Yeah.
It's still up to date. Yeah. So you can do all that. Yeah, I don't think it has the links to the radio app anymore. We used to have, like, I think you can actually download.
And you could, like, get a theme and stuff, too. The theme you did was pretty cool.
Yeah, so so that does still exist. But, yeah, unfortunately, yeah, you can't access the site through there anymore. But you can play emulator games. Now, granted, in order to do that, you have to switch between retail and dev mode in order to kind of jump between the two. There is a workaround to put it, RetroArch in the actual retail mode, but it's a little trickier. To do that, you actually had to, there's a form that you filled out that I guess one of the developers has, and he basically whitelists your console for that download, and you download it through Edge on the console, and you kind of bypass their storefront to get it on there, which I'm certain is going to be patched out soon. So that's just how that works right now. But the dev mode version doesn't necessarily isn't blocked. Still do that right now. And I'm not sure. There is a little bit of, you know, I think you have to switch back and forth between retail and dev if you want to play your games, like your actual retail games and stuff. But
not everyone can just jump into dev, right? You have to have some sort of license to do that, right? Because that was my understanding. Because there's a lot
you have to pay for a license, but it's I think it's pretty inexpensive though.
There's a lot of headlines about this story right now that, you know, for clickbait reasons are making it sound like you can play PlayStation 2 games on your Xbox, and the reality is it's not really that easy. It just kind of sounds like, okay, the Xbox Series X is basically, as we know, you know, a type of PC. It's a optimized PC for gaming, right? It's that kind of thing, right? So it makes sense that certain things that were built to run on PCs, like emulators, and yes, PlayStation 2 emulators exist on PC. You know what? PS3 and 4 emulators exist on PC as well. Probably soon, a PS5 emulator. It just won't run very fast. Somebody's probably already trying to develop one. So all that stuff exists, and I think it's just that, you know, by using this essentially what sounds like a sideloading method is basically what it is, right? You are able to run this emulator and then run the PlayStation games. And I think people are kind of using this to take a cheap shot at Sony. Well, I shouldn't say a cheap shot. I think it's a worthy shot at Sony about how they drag their feet through the mud about backwards compatibility when it comes to PlayStation, PlayStation 2, and PlayStation 3, because it does make an attention-grabbing headline that's like, hey, Xbox Series X can play PlayStation 2 games, even though it's a lot more nuanced than that headline. That's my point, is that it still needles Sony, like, so what's your problem?
Exactly. And the dev mode isn't necessarily – so to get the dev mode, you have to pay a one-time $19 fee. So that's
YYR is echoing some of this in chat because he's developed for, let's not forget, some of his games were released on what used to be like the XNA and the indie arcade and that stuff on the 360.
So there's lots of guides online to be able to do that. You know, I haven't necessarily messed with it enough yet to check it out. It would be nice. It's kind of a nice added bonus, you know, having this console and stuff, being able to play other games on it. I mean, like, sure, it's not like officially sanctioned by Microsoft or something, but it's still a pretty cool thing to be able to do. And like, what other cool stuff could you do with this console? I mean, I like that, but I get it. That's if they shut it down, then they shut it down. But right now it seems to be like they're kind of not really addressing it yet. But if it becomes a problem, maybe if, like, you know, Sony or Nintendo complains.
I'm kind of surprised somebody hasn't unleashed the beast with NES games and Super Nintendo games. But at the same time...
Oh, no, it does. RetroArch plays all that stuff.
Okay, so then the headlines we're seeing about PlayStation 2 really is to needle Sony. Because they're leaving the NES stuff out of it.
Well, the PlayStation 2, let's put it this way. The reason why they're highlighting the PlayStation 2 because that's a hard-to-emulate system. It requires...
Oh, because that whole emotion engine.
Powerful, you know... Yeah. So... It actually emulates GameCube very well.
I get you.
So you could actually run you know, GameCube games on there. You could run you know, F-Zero GX or something like that. You know, lots of cool stuff. So they're highlighting the PlayStation 2 because it can run some of the games. They're not perfect yet because that core is still very new.
Okay.
But that's the thing about RetroArch is unlike, you know, other emulators out there, this is kind of an all-in-one, so you get different cores that emulate different systems, and so it can do it all, and each of those cores is kind of independently developed, and so they're adding support for PlayStation 2 on there.
And I got you, because I was going to say that, you know, when it comes to emulating something like the NES or the Atari 2600, you could pull up a Microsoft Edge browser and open up a tab and run like a web browser-based emulator that's going to be decent enough where most people aren't going to be able to tell the difference, right? So so that does kind of lend itself to your point. It's the fact that it's the PlayStation 2, which is a lot harder to emulate than these other things, and the fact that it's happening on a Microsoft box, no matter the, you know, sideloading, dev mode, and all that stuff aside, when it's not, like, when Sony keeps resisting doing their own native emulation on their own box. This is interesting. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, I'd be curious to see if that's something you decide you're going to check out and get into this week. So what PlayStation 2 game are you looking forward to playing on Xbox?
None of them, I'll be honest. PlayStation 2, like, if I was going to pick any of those... I mean,
Beat,
like,
Mania 2DX.
Like,
Beat Mania 2DX.
Oh, yeah, with the controller. That would be just perfect.
Couldn't I, map it somehow? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't remember if those controllers.
You can play like 5-key with the controller. You can play DJ Max as a controller game. Yeah, you could do it.
Yeah, were they like? Did they have like? Weren't the PlayStation 2 Beat Mania controllers USB, or were they just the regular PlayStation 2 stuff?
They were regular PlayStation 2, if I recall correctly. You can probably get some type of USB device, but it would be like third party.
I was going to say, there's probably an adapter out there for it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if that was the case. So,
yeah.
All right. YYR says, you don't want to play 2DX on a gamepad. It's just not 2DX anymore. You know, I thought I would dislike DJ Max for kind of reasons like that, but it's okay. Like, I don't mind DJ Max. So, all right. Well, let's move on to a story about Destiny 2. And this kind of has to do with how these games are upgrading to the next generation. Destiny 2 right now in the Xbox universe is not Series X and S enhanced. This is important because the game is available on Game Pass. So if you have an Xbox Series X or S, you may have downloaded the game to just kind of, I almost did until I saw this story and I was like, wait, hold on. And the long and the short of it is that there is a new version of Destiny 2 coming out for not just Xbox X and S this week on December the 8th, but it's also coming for PlayStation 5 as well. And here's the thing. If you downloaded the old version of the game, too bad. You're going to have to download the new version of the game. Now, there's a lot of that that kind of makes sense, you know, because you got to get new assets and things of that nature. But it is this very interesting sort of like, oh, we kind of thought with Xbox, you just could kind of like play the old games and they just kind of run with the new stuff. And to some extent, that does work. Like, again, I've been playing Dragon Quest XI, which... it's very much like a PlayStation 4 or last gen era game, but it's so smooth, like 60 frames a second, smooth. The loading time is, I can't believe I'm going to say this. The loading time in Dragon Quest XI is too fast. It's too fast. And the reason why I say that is what they did in the original version was they had tips on the loading screen. And while the area was loading, you could read the tips. You don't have time to read the tips anymore. You can kind of see it, but it's too damn fast on the Xbox. So this is kind of interesting in that regard. Anyway, so for Destiny 2, the next-gen update on December 8th, which is technically the version 3.0.1 update, you will have to download the game again on the Xbox Series X or S and the PlayStation 5. Why is this important? Well, some of you might have bandwidth concerns, right? I don't know how many of y'all got a new system last month and already almost hit your bandwidth cap for the month. So you might be rationing things out a little bit, which is why I'm glad I didn't get Destiny 2 yet. This download will be about 70 gigs in the Xbox side of things. PlayStation side of things will be about 67 gigs. This is interesting because Bobby was kind of talking about on his show this week the weird PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 stuff coexisting. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. Like, let's say you put in your disc for No Man's Sky because you want to play the PlayStation 5 version of No Man's Sky, and that's how it verifies that you own the game still, is by the disc. Well, guess what? When you put in the disc, it defaults to the PlayStation 4 version of No Man's Sky. So you have to switch it. Why you would want to default to that version, maybe because the HDR bug's still there, I don't know. It still happens. And apparently he was talking about he downloaded Worms, which is the whatever version of it is the PlayStation Plus game of the month right now. And it downloads both the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 5 version. I think it was, and he'll correct me in chat if I'm wrong, I think it was he had to download the PlayStation 4 version first, then get the PlayStation 5 version. And it was like, okay, well, are these art assets for five? No, it doesn't. It's not pulling anything from the PlayStation 4 version. And in my opinion...
sounds well thought out.
No, it's horribly thought out, which I know you're joking. But it's borderline, I don't want to be too dramatic, but it's borderline disrespectful in this area, in this era, excuse me, of bandwidth caps. The Destiny 2 thing, whatever, we were warned, we were cautioned, they did say the next gen version is coming. Okay, so I'm letting that slide. I'm just warning you, you know, wait until the 8th before you grab it. But in the case of this Worms thing, when we live in this era of bandwidth caps, it's disrespectful for the systems to be doing this. It's not respecting the bandwidth caps that we have. This needs to be addressed immediately on Sony's end. And if anything like this is happening on Microsoft's end, I don't think it is to that same extent. Like, I know with No Man's Sky, it's not. It's you get the Xbox X and S version because that is the box you're playing it on. Anyway. I want to go to our chat room and see if we have any feedback on this particular story here. Bobby says it downloaded the PlayStation 4 version first. I canceled it. It added both to my queue and prioritized the PlayStation 4 download. Dijirama S says Sony has always had shitty servers and network management. Fifth Dream says, I'm used to like getting a drink or a handful of whatever I'm eating during loading times for some games. And now on PlayStation 5, I keep forgetting it's too fast to do that. Guys, yet again, I'll remind you, companies store DLC on your drive even if you never purchase it. That's still a thing. And that is also bad. So I'm not saying the Xbox universe is completely devoid of this stuff. And we all know about the gigantic Call of Duty installs and things like that too. And I get it that part of this is, you know, the transforming to the new generation and all this stuff. But I have to needle Sony on this a little bit. Why the fuck is the PlayStation 4 version downloading to the PlayStation 5? Why? What is the benefit of that? Now, if maybe I want to play that version, fine. Let somebody opt in. Press X to download the old version of the game and run it. Cool. At least I opted into it. Why are you bloating up my PlayStation 5 with an old version of the game I don't need? It doesn't make sense. So Sony needs to address this like now, in my opinion, because it's, again, in this era of bandwidth caps with all of our Zoom meetings and working from home and all this other stuff that takes up our bandwidth, to have bandwidth eaten up by games where it's not needed sucks. And I think all companies, now I know I'm picking on Sony a little bit here because I have the most egregious example right there, but I think all game companies should be looking at, is there a way to make our installs smaller? For example, what, Cyberpunk 2077 is coming soon, right? Isn't that this week too? The 10th?
Yep.
Same day as the Game Awards? I hear it has a day one patch of 60 gigs. All right. We all knew it was coming. I'm sure there's things in it. They pushed the game back for 3 weeks for a reason. They probably had to fix some things. Fine, whatever. Did it need to be 60 gigs? And I think a lot of devs need to ask themselves this question. And we need to ask these questions of game devs. Again, I'm willing to let Cyberpunk slide a little bit because it is a very big AAA game. And you would expect it's going to have a large footprint. You kind of know a lot of this going into it. But something like Worms, I don't think you expect that same type of, you know, extra 4 gig download of a PlayStation 4 version you're literally never going to play. So anyway.
Or they should be able to handle it like PC installs where you can do, you know, just the express install where it installs everything. Or like, say, for example, I don't know how they necessarily do localization, like say if they had like recorded audio for other languages and stuff like that, and say I don't need the French audio soundtrack in this, you know, allow me to uncheck that option to save some space. Or in Call of Duty, in Call of Duty, for example, like I only want the campaign, I don't want multiplayer or zombies, you know, I just want to download that section. And yeah, I think they need to chop it up with that or that way in order to be able to address these bandwidth caps until we live in a perfect society that has no bandwidth caps.
So Bobby in our chat is calling out Forza Horizon on the Microsoft side as one of the games. And y'all know we love some Forza Horizon, but he is calling it out as one of the games that downloads extra data you don't need, saying Forza Horizon installs all the data for all the cars and the DLC in manage game is just the unlock key. If the DLC is only 10 megs in the manage data list, then it's just an unlock key and not actually any data. Now, and he goes on to clarify, and I think a lot of you guys are probably picking up on this, the car data, that makes sense. Because if your friend has the DLC and you don't, it's kind of like Mortal Kombat 11. Again, you're going to have all the characters in the game because if you go online and play online, somebody else may be able to use a character that you don't have unlocked. Fine. So Forza Horizon has to do that for the cars. But do you need that entire like Lego continent? Do you need all the art assets for Lego
yes,
if you haven't
you
bought it? Well, yes, you make a good point, Loki, but you know what I'm asking here, right? If I haven't bought it, why is that downloading? Because I'm never going to be able to use it, right? So I think these are the questions that we need to in turn. So I want to be fair because I kind of dragged Sony a little bit there. There's one that Microsoft can do better on, fine. And then Nintendo just honestly, you know, just needs to look at online in general. Like we got a whole other list of things they can work on. So there's things that they can be doing better there, especially in this era of bandwidth caps. So Let's see, other comments here. DJ Rama S says, part of the reason why Xbox game patches are huge is because sometimes the game is already patched and it's bringing you the full game over again with the patched content. That isn't really a patch. That's a re-download, and it should be called such. Anyway, so enough. I kind of went on a tangent from the original Destiny 2 story, but it's an important thing to call out in this era of the new generation of consoles, especially when on both fronts, they are really relying heavy on the library from the last generation to be moving these consoles forward. And these are some important questions to be asking on all sides. All right, let's move on to some news. I'm hoping we can all agree is a great thing, right, Dark Sakura?
In theory. But they have cast Solid Snake in the Metal Gear Solid film adaptation. Adaptation. My bad. They've cast Oscar Isaac to play him, which I can kind of see it. You know, I always think of Snake as someone just a little bit more square jawed. Does that make sense? Like, I'm thinking like, you know, an 80s Kurt Russell, you know. But he'll do good. I think he'll do well.
It's funny you say that when arguably Solid Snake was based off of Kurt Russell in Escape from New York.
That's true.
You say that, yeah.
And I wasn't even thinking about it when I said it, and then I was like, oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's sort of, you know, I'm going to wait for, you know, to reserve my judgment. And he's a great actor. Don't get me wrong.
I love Oscar Isaac. I have Poe is the best part of those new Star Wars movies. I have two. I'm looking over here.
Reyes.
Because I have two Disney Infinity figures. I have a Tron one and I have Korra and I have Poe. That's it. So I may have a crush on Oscar Isaac. So I'm more than happy with this news.
Well, I'm still going to reserve a little bit of judgment to see, you know, when it's out. And again, I'm so iffy about video game movies because we've either had shit or we've had pretty good, you know? And so I'm hoping that, I mean, because Metal Gear Solid, as a game series anyway, each of the games are so cinematic in and of themselves, even the very first one, that it would be very difficult for them to fuck it up.
Yeah.
Because the influence is there, you know, scene blocking is there.
I think it's going to be about how do they squeeze it down to 2 or 2.5 hours or a movie size, you know, even if they let it go 3 hours, which is pretty long for a movie, Titanic size movie. I doubt it will be that long. How are they
doing the whole thing?
How are they gonna
I think it's
going
to be the Shadow Moses story.
Okay.
I mean, the climbing of the ladder is going to be like 30 minutes as it is.
Well, it's being written by Derek Connolly, who wrote The Rise of Skywalker and Jurassic World, which I haven't seen Jurassic World, but I really like The Rise of Skywalker. And the director... What?
Jurassic World's kind of... I haven't seen the first one. The first one is good. I have yet to see the second one. I hear it kind of... But Rise of Skywalker is all right.
No opinion.
I thought Rise of Skywalker was outstanding. I loved all of them. Very, very strong female-oriented movies. We get him as Snake. Someone better yell Snake at some point.
Some comments from our chat over at twitch.tv/VOG Network. DJ Rama S suggests regarding Kurt Russell, he could be old Snake. You know, I hate to say it, but he is a little older at this point. He's playing Santa Claus in Netflix films. So maybe that's a good idea. Maybe an old Snake. How would you feel about Kurt Russell as old Snake? I think.
As Big Boss, you mean?
Yes. I mean, depending on the story and how much they reveal, yes.
I mean, I wouldn't mind him being Big Boss, but the thing is that he and Isaac look nothing alike.
Hmm.
So I don't really see it. I mean, like their facial structure, like eye socket down to mouth shape, it's different. So there would be no family resemblance, you know, because, well, spoiler, he's a clone. Even if you haven't played the game 50 years ago.
Questbuster in chat says the Santa Claus role is also Russell's last role. He's retiring. Well, you know what? Rick Moranis said that too, and then he showed up in that cell phone commercial with Ryan Reynolds. So anything's
actually
possible.
You know why Rick Moranis retired?
Oh no, I know why he did, but
I don't think that that's a fair comparison.
Okay, fine. Yeah. But well, my point is never say never. You know,
it's like wrestling retirement.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Although, you know, The Undertaker finally did give in.
That's probably another plot.
No, actually, I think he's probably tore up. So, but anyway.
So now SJ does want to say about Oscar Isaac. SJ100 Matt says Oscar Isaac is a huge fan of the series. Over a year ago, he asked in a press conference that he wants to play Snake. So at least we're getting somebody that kind of knows what they're getting into. So
yeah,
that's nice.
No, I'm not arguing about him at all. Yeah. It's just, you know, I really don't know this director. The only thing I said that's listed on here is Kong Skull Island, which I'll be honest, I don't even think I remember that movie existing. So
that was like the
we'll
King
see.
Kong movie that came out after the Lord of the Rings director Peter Jackson's movie, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's the one that's the new Toho universe thing, the one that they have the two Godzilla movies, and they're supposed to be the Godzilla and King Kong movie that's coming out. So that's kind of the prequel to those two or three.
I never see movies. I mean, obviously it's 2020, so I can't see them in the theater anyway, but I was already bad at movies.
I am way outside of the whole kaiju movies these days.
I have a lot to catch up on.
Although I'll be honest, just recently I went back and watched probably one of my favorite of the Godzilla movies, which was Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, because it had the dude with CD player in his head.
I do say though, like I haven't watched it yet, but the last Godzilla movie that they put out looked pretty amazing. Like I think. If you do have to go, if you do want to watch one of this new universe, that last one that they put out looked absolutely incredible. But I still haven't watched it yet.
So the chat is lighting up with some various commentary about the Kong Skull Island and how it fits into Universal's MonsterVerse, which was kind of like their answer to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I do remember because last time I was at Universal Studios, which was a few years ago at this point, they were already starting to like really promote like Universal is the home of these classic monsters. And there's very certain ones that they're promoting that I think are in line with the MonsterVerse. Because wasn't that... I almost said Tim Curry reboot of The Mummy. I wish.
That's a whole nother thing. No. So there's the Godzilla King Kong stuff. That's its own thing.
Oh.
And then there's the classic things that they try to do with The Invisible Man, the reboot of The Mummy, that were not as great. So there's those. That's like, I forget what they call it. It's like something Dark Universe. I can't remember what it was called, but like it's. That's its own thing that they try to do, but
my bad.
No, I think the King Kong Godzilla stuff way better than all of that. The other stuff, oh god, terrible.
All right, well, maybe the Solid Snake movie, the Metal Gear movie, will start off a Konami Cinematic Universe, the KCU, and we'll get a DDR movie. All right, maybe not.
Pachinko slots the movie.
Let's move on. Loki, what else do you have for us tonight?
So we have some new updates to our consoles coming out. So Nintendo added some new features to the Switch in a brand new firmware update. So the ability to now be able to take your screenshots that you make on the console and be able to transfer them to your phone or a PC. So that's pretty cool. They use some sort of QR code system to be able to do that. And or you can use a USB cable to transfer to your PC. So that's kind of helpful. And then along with that, they also added some more Super Mario 35th anniversary profile icons. Just to remind you that the game is going away at the end of March, allegedly. So we'll see. And then, of course, on the Xbox side of things, for the Xbox Series S and X, and the original Xbox One, they had a new console update that added some new dynamic background designs, including some that have kind of some older console looks to them. And then they also did, they added some more optimized for X and S series or badges which I think they have those already in the they did on Games Pass. So I guess now this is for your library as well, which is helpful. And I believe there's something also calling out HDR as well, which is nice. And then new family member account setup stuff. And they're also going to have pre-installs for games that are coming soon on Xbox Game Pass. So if you want to, you know, preload those, you can for when those are coming out. And then, yeah. So if you want to check it out, it should be, I think, coming out soon if it's not out already. Otherwise, you can join the Xbox Insider program to get access to those updates before they hit the retail side.
I'm pretty sure it's out on the Xbox side, and then the Switch one is certainly out. And it is so convoluted to get pictures. I don't understand. Like I understand. Yeah. And Bobby's explaining the tech side of it in the chat, saying the QR code gives you the ability to connect to your Switch's Wi-Fi router. The first one is the SSID for the Wi-Fi. The second is the internal web server on the Switch to download the photos or videos. And I'm just kind of like, wow. For a company that really doesn't like to get their things hacked, they just blew open the goddamn door to hackers, didn't they? Here, use this code to directly tap into your Switch's... Like, Loki, you know more about that stuff than I do, but using this convoluted method, haven't they just, like, blown open the door for hackers?
Probably not, because it's probably just accessing a small portion of the storage on the system itself. They probably have it split up to it kind of like an FTP server where you may have access to certain folders. I'm guessing that's what they're doing. Bobby says it's giving you access to a web server or web page basically, but you know, or they could just have it where you can download it with like plug it into a PC or something and just download it that way. Why did they gotta make it super complicated? We have this Nintendo Switch app. Why can't it just upload the pictures to the cloud or something like that? And I can download them through the Nintendo app that they have available already.
Basically the way that Microsoft's doing it.
But that would be so 2020, and that's not Nintendo. We got to work a couple decades behind.
It's just look, I'm glad it's there. It's going to make the sharing of the photos a lot easier. You know, all the Animal Crossing, you know, shit posting that we all love to do. But it just feels so convoluted to scan two QR codes. But whatever. All right. Now, Bobby does say you can also drag and drop to your PC via a USB cable on the Switch. They added that method, too. Well, that's a little more, you know, makes sense. But again, what else are they going to be able to do once you hook up your Switch via a USB cable? I mean, yes, I know it's just a web server, but I don't know. I just feel like these stories inevitably lead to they got PlayStation 2 games running on the Switch, you know? just saying. All right.
I'd never be able to run PlayStation 2 games.
That's true. All right. Shows you how much I know. All right. Let's move on to speaking of like doing things on older consoles. This kind of came out of nowhere. And it has to do with the classic RPG series Ease, not Wise, although that's what it looks like when you read the name. But Ease by Nihon.
Ease.
Okay. So. That game by Nihon Falcom is doing something a little different. They're going to be porting the first and second game in the series. So East 1 and 2 are going to be ported to the Sharp X68000. Now, Dark Sakurai probably talked about that machine on this show years ago in one of her...
I did it for a classic console.
Yeah, but I mean...
And I want one.
All of our listeners may not have been here when that happened. So it's a console that was only out in Japan in the 80s. You could think of
it wasn't a console, it was a computer.
I'm sorry, yeah.
It was a home computer.
You're right. And it's in my brain, I equate it to something like Commodore 64, TI-99/4A, Apple IIe. Those were kind of like the computers.
Hell no.
Well, but those were the computers we had in the 80s. So this is kind of like what Japan had.
Yeah, and it kind of blew the stuff that we had out of the water as far as what it could do for gaming.
Yes.
I mean, there was also the FM Towns, which also is, I'd say, pretty good for gaming as well. But the Sharp X68000 was the machine that pretty much ran arcade perfect versions of so many games. And it's now kind of like this one holy grail for collectors that, you know, if you can find a system that works and get the, you know, the games for it still, you know, still intact, you know, no disc read errors. And on top of that, you know, you could switch like your music synthesizer for different games. So you could pick different sound options, but the X68000 was like the shit. It is still kind of the shit. Some of the best versions of games are on that system.
Well, and it's interesting now that here we are in 2020, or should I say 2021, when this actually comes out, March 9th, 2021, that we have East 1 and 2 are going to be released for that console. Or, sorry, I have it on this show, but that computer that came out in 1987. And it's going to come on 3.5-inch floppy disks, like they should for that year. And, you know, there's going to be, you know, smooth in-game scrolling. You don't have to swap in floppies to save your progress. But it's a demake. And now, we hear about demakes a lot on this show. Like, you know, Halo 2600, you know, the way I can play Halo efficiently. You know, those types of things. We hear that. But those are almost always fan projects. The fact that this is like, this is being done by Nihon Falcom, that's what makes this different and kind of interesting. So anyhow, I do want to clarify, there was a version of East 1 that came out in 1991, but they redid like with three pre-rendered 3D bosses. This is going to be the first time the East 2 has ever come out on the platform. And I think it's a different version of East 1, but don't quote me on that. Anyway, if you want to get both...
Just to say, one of the other things is a good number of games that I've done for Classic Game of the Week had some of their first home releases on the Strep X68000, Galaga 88, Emerald Dragon. It even had like tons of fighting games. So a lot of the SNK and Capcom. Just saying.
Oh, well, it's do you
Gradius?
Why, you know, no, I that all makes sense. But why demake for this platform? For $84,
it still has such a big fan following, and the people who have their computers, they will play it regularly because, again, these are some of the best versions of some of these games. It actually doesn't really surprise me if there's a big enough audience for it. They do a limited release at a high price point. You know, people are going to pay for it. I mean, some of those Dreamcast ones were still going.
True. We see that limited
still doing Genesis games.
And I feel like we have some story about what Limited Run Games is doing, like at least once a month on this show. So if not more often than that, we had one last week about that, the Ninja game on NES that was recently put in the,
Revenge of the Ninja. Revenge of the Ninja was the Game Boy one.
Is it Shadow? No, somebody in chat will shout it out.
And you want to know what's funny? I think we own like two physical copies of that game.
Well, there you go. Well, if you want to get a third, Limited Run Games is doing it. But anyway, actually, and I do want to say this is not through Limited Run Games, because I don't think Limited Run does Japan-centric things.
No.
So this is Shadow of the Ninja. Thank you, Dark Tetsuya. So yeah, this is something that Nihon Falcom's doing directly. If it sells out, it's going to be interesting to see what else comes from this, in my opinion. So could be what's old is new again, right? So, all right, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
Well, going on a little bit outside of the more fun aspects of games, and especially since, you know, what we've been hearing in, you know, quote, real life has been economy this and, you know, money that, and what we're going to do. I thought it was pretty interesting to find that video games, by recent reports, state that the video game industry in and of itself in 2019 generated 90.3 billion in economic output and supported close to 429,000 jobs, with about a third of that who are actually employed in the industry, and they're really generating a lot of, you know, tax money for their various states. Overall, California, of course, has the largest total economic output and employment, with $51.8 billion and 218,090 jobs. So, and you think about this, you know, when we were growing up, you know, people say, oh, I want to do this in video games, you know. And they're like, oh, you can't make money in that. Excuse you, look at this. You know, yeah. You can, and people are making
money. Or you have to live in Japan to do that.
Yeah. But think about it that way. You know, it is now a very lucrative industry and a very competitive industry on top of that. And, of course, women in the gaming industry are still having a very difficult, ceiling to, I wouldn't say it's like glass. I'm thinking more like the transparent aluminum from, was it Star Trek 3? Star Trek 4? I think it was Star Trek 4. The one with the whales. Anyway, okay, cool. But at any rate, you know, it's really, and I think that now with, COVID business going on, I truly believe that it's only going to be a bigger contributor. And me, who is not like the most, let's follow the stonks and the economies and all that, I am super interested to see what next year's fiscal reporting looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Technically this year's fiscal reporting, which I think is like what, in April? So
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense that, you know, throughout this pandemic, when we're really being encouraged to stay at home, you know, as an aside, I think, you know, because this show is broadcast around the world, and a lot of you in the States, you know, see this, and you've probably seen a lot in the news about how California is going to go back on the super lockdown or whatever. But what's interesting is that when I see those stories, I'm like, that's what I've been doing ever since March.
Yeah.
Like nothing, like it's so like people read those stories and go, oh, my gosh. And I look at it and go, nothing's changing.
Well, but going into another thing on this, though, well, but keep in mind, Rob, you, people like you and me,
I know.
We are in the minority.
I know.
Especially,
I know.
Just as you said, there were people protesting the lockdown by being super spreaders.
Especially north of here and in the Central Valley. And what was the first place to go on lockdown? And who's next? Well, technically the most populated area of the state also is on the super lockdown. But who was right after him? The Central Valley. Who's going to be next? The North State.
Yeah. But going back to another thing, though, is, and I was reading another article today, I think it was by Forbes or Business Insider, one of the two, that whatever happens with, with vaccines and, you know, going back to the former normal, the way people work has been irrevocably changed.
Mm-hmm.
They've proven that you can do, that telecommuting is not just a valid means of work, but people are, in a lot of cases, more productive by doing so.
Yeah, my work will have a permanent change involving telework due to this whole thing.
I'm hoping that mine does, but they're not expecting us to go remotely back into the office until maybe late next year, which I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying 100%. I'm just saying it's going to be a change. It's going to be more open than they were ever talking about before.
Well, so. But the other thing, too, is that it's also changed things for, like, the medical field. How many of us have had our doctor's visits now on video?
Yeah.
You know, just saying in general, it's really changed the way a lot of business operates.
Mm-hmm.
For the better, I think. And if you look at it this way, it's even, I think, helping environmentally by hopefully lowering, you know, physical commute time and operating cost of large commercial buildings, for example. And so with video games, I'm not sure how many designers, I'm pretty sure a designer with a good enough system at home would be able to do a lot of their work from a home studio. A lot are doing it now, just really boosting up their home studios that way. And I'm sure that anyone doing any of the more clerical end of this or writing end of this, they're going to be able to do it. So I'm seeing entire studios keep being as productive as they are, but doing it from the safety of their homes.
Yeah, I think it's good. You know, that we talk about like the new normal, and I don't think the new normal is necessarily a bunch of scary things. I think There's a lot of like really, and I think those of us that are tech inclined, and I think if you listen to the show and you are a hardcore or even casual core fan of video games, you are somewhat tech inclined. And I think there's a lot about that new normal that's going to be very friendly to us. You know, I think like web conferencing and these types of things, we were doing this for a long time. And back to the original story that brought us to this, video games being a major part of the economy and a major outlet for release and a thing that we do to bond with other people. You know, we all knew this. And I think a lot of people in our generation knew this. But I think even more, especially people older than us, have come to things like Jackbox games. Great example, right? I know heck of people that maybe played the occasional phone game but didn't really play a lot of video games, that like were like, oh, I love Jackbox games. Let's have a Jackbox night or get together and do that. You know, that's now money in the video game economy that wasn't there before, you know? So I think, especially people that are developing things like this. And Among Us, can I just go on a quick tangent? Let's talk about Among Us.
Sure, let's do that.
Let's talk about Among Us. I saw an interesting thing on Twitter about how some people really don't want to play Among Us or are a little resistant to that game because they don't like the element of lying to their friends and getting accused of lying. And I'm completely sensitive to that, and I get that. It's interesting because I haven't played a lot of Among Us, yet I've totally played these Survivor games online where I lie and do all this crap that I would never do in real life. But I also understand that really isn't for everybody, and I get that. But the reason why I bring up Among Us, and it's even though those critiques are kind of there, like, why has that game skyrocketed the way that it has this year? Like, that game is a very brilliant example about how I think the needs and wants of the gaming community and the types of games that end up being successful has kind of changed because of the pandemic. You know, Among Us came out in like 2018, and everybody's suddenly asking themselves, well, why now? Why is that game coming out now? Because in a way, y'all, Among Us is like that really short, condensed versions of Dungeons and Dragons. Bear with me, D&D fans. I don't mean to sacrilege here, but it's a way of telling a story with your friends in this virtual setting and getting to do what is kind of inherently a social thing. I don't know. Jamie, you got to have some thoughts on this whole like Among Us and how the pandemic has allowed that game to be so successful.
I think I've already had that same discussion with Animal Crossing.
Oh, okay. Fair.
It's a little thing to lose yourself in. It's, you know, you can be social in it. I mean, it's more for the people who have like the social need. It is a way to get together with your friends and play a game mm-hmm. without getting together with your friends. Mm-hmm.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, yes, but those Survivor games are against people you probably never met. Half true. For the most part, yes. I don't want to just like be contrarian to your statement, but there were like a couple people in that game that like I knew about, or I kind of knew them through somebody else. But also like through that process, yes, there was lying and I did a lot of it to win the game. But there are people in that game that like I will talk to, like if certain people that were in that game and they know who they are, if they ever needed anything from me, I would drop a lot. Like I made some really good lifelong friends out of that process, honestly. So, yeah. Anyway. Okay, let's move on. Sorry, we got on a lot of tangents and it's my fault, but we have a direct to get to very soon and our classic pinball table of the month. But first, we're going to get to this next story, Loki.
All right. So we've got some interesting changes at Sony. So apparently, the creator of Silent Hill and Gravity Rush, Keiichi Iro Toyama, has actually left Sony and formed his own studio. So that's pretty awesome. It seems to be kind of the trend, you know, a lot of these big names, you know, coming out and forming their own studio. So he has a new outfit called Bokeh Game Studios. And yeah, so basically along with that, he's also got Kazunobu Sato, who designed Puppeteer, if you remember that game on PlayStation 3.
I don't.
And, yeah. And then also was the producer of The Last Guardian. Hmm. And then Junya Okra, who was a designer on Gravity Rush. So a pretty nice pedigree there. I'd be curious to see what they're working on.
Yeah, that's interesting. Some big departures there, but and it certainly kind of gives a swift kick in the butt to all these Silent Hill reboot at Sony rumors that go around every couple months. But
well, they have some sketches that's in their little video talking about their a new chapter or whatever, and it is certainly horror looking. So maybe
we'll see.
I mean, so yeah, it's other game. They also worked on Siren as well, so that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of big games.
Yeah, so I guess we'll wait and see. Perhaps we'll hear something about that at the Game Awards.
Perhaps,
maybe,
I was thinking, yeah.
So we'll wait and see.
All right. Well, all right, so talking about departures, I know Dark Soccer is really thrilled to talk about this. There are some big departures that happen at BioWare this week in advance of new Dragon Age news at the Game Awards. Casey Hudson, who at one time was the creative director behind the Mass Effect series, but at one point recently became the general. He left once and then came back as the general manager of BioWare, and now he's leaving again. And saying, I'm incredibly fortunate to have had a career where I've been able to work with brilliantly talented people, create entire worlds from our imaginations, and see them being enjoyed by millions of people around the world. And now, after nearly 20 years of work at BioWare, I've made the decision to retire from the studio and make way for the next generation of studio leaders. Interesting, he's retiring from the studio, but he didn't say he was retiring from the game industry. Just something I observe. That's all. I'm just making observations. But the interesting thing is that would have been news in itself if he'd left. But the same day that news came out, Dragon Age executive producer Mark Dara also left, saying, though I remain confident in BioWare's strength and continued place in this conversation, I have decided to retire from my position at BioWare. Again, I can't help but note, not the game industry, but BioWare. Anyway, obviously, nothing is going to change with development on the new Dragon Age and the Mass Effect remaster games, whatever the hell's going on with Anthem. Laura Mile, I hope I'm saying your name right, sorry, who is the chief studio officer at Electronic Arts, kind of put out her own statement alongside this, pretty much reassuring fans that things are going to be just fine. And it is interesting to note that Christian Daly, who used to be with Blizzard Entertainment, is taking over for the Dragon Age 4 end of things. And Mike Gamble will be taking over on the Mass Effect remaster, which I would imagine is pretty close to completion at this point. So we'll see what happens with the future of the Mass Effect franchise. So I don't know. The fact that they're both happening the same day is a little weird to me. And I don't know if anything's wrong with BioWare. I feel like this smells like an EA thing. I don't know. Could it maybe just be a coincidence? I don't know.
I'm sure we'll get an article down the road telling us, you know, about some shenanigans going on behind the scenes.
Well, the shenanigans I want to hear is that those two formed a new studio, or this would be a gag. They joined that studio that the Blizzard folks made, which what was the name of it? It had a very tongue-in-cheek name. Somebody will remember it in chat, but the Blizzard...
Very Cold Weather.
No, the Blizzard, it's like Ice something. The Blizzard folks made a new studio, and I don't know why. Maybe it's just because there's that Blizzard tie-in towards the end there, but I don't know why I feel like that would be such a gag. Dark Sakura, you are the resident. Thank you. Frost King Games. Thank you. Frost Giant Games. Thank you. I knew there was a play there. Dark Sakura, you are the resident BioWare fangirl of many sorts. Your thoughts?
Cool. I knew that there were shenanigans going on. I don't want to speculate. I just want to see what happens.
Show me the product.
Even popcorn. That's how I've been like for just about everything these days. Like, okay, people have done this stuff, you know, people leave companies all the time, they're just not as high profile, right? Let's see what they're going to do with it.
Well, high profile folks leave too. I mean, Blizzard, Mike Morhaime, that's a pretty big deal, and some have noted that Blizzard's quality has dipped a little bit, but that's another story for another day, I suppose. So, yeah, interesting.
For me, it's I want to see what happens, not guess about what's going on. There have been way too many times that people have speculated stuff and been wrong, and I don't want to be wrong.
All right.
I want to be pleased.
Sometimes it's fun to be wrong, but only sometimes. All right.
On what planet?
It builds.
I'm never wrong. That's why I don't, you know, speculate. So I can all be right all the time.
Fine. Then let's go to another category that you are certainly an expert on, and that is classic games, as we get to the classic game of the week. But of course, as you know, once a month here on this show in a 2020 twist, we go into the archives and choose a pinball game to talk about. So it's time for the classic pinball table of the month, our last one for 2020. Did we determine a 2021 theme? I thought we had.
I don't think I did. I don't know. Oh. I might think of one.
All right, so 2021 twist to be determined, unless someone in chat.
I'll do non-classic game of the month.
All right, but we still have one more pinball table to get us through the year. So Dark Sakura, what is December's classic pinball table of the month?
I picked a table that is sort of a transitional table. The kind of the end of its particular era. And another John Papaduke table, because, you know, I love my John Papaduke tables. So it's Circus Voltaire. It came out in 1997, done by John Papaduke and released by Williams under their Bally label. And it has the player, the sort of theme of it is doing different, quote, marvels to join the circus. And it has a few very distinctive things going on with it. One of its features has a neon light that runs along the right-hand ramp and a pop bumper that rises up in the middle of the playfield and a magnet at the top left ramp that can catch balls and divert them into locks. They're a ball catcher. I am. And the biggest feature is the Ringmaster, which is a head that rises up to taunt the player. And I must apologize. I tried to find a digital table so we could get better sound on it, and I found sort of like a how-to play. So, and for anyone who is watching the video while we are live, you might notice that the D&D is interesting. It's an interesting place. So only two tables had their D&D is in such a place like this. The other one was Capcom's Flipper Football. You know, Capcom had a kind of a limited run doing pinballs. But the two of them have their D&D not on the top marquee, but sunken into the playfield. It's on the back box, in the right back box into the cabinet. So the point of that, as I say, was to not distract the player from gameplay by looking up for their modes and their shots and to see what was going on. And it also does have a little bit more interactivity, like animation that shows a cannonball fired. It has different things that are a little bit more integration. And why I say that this one's a bit of a transitional game is that the sunken DMD could be considered a precursor to the Pinball 2000 series, where the display was a holographic projection on top of the table. Games like Revenge from Mars and Episode 1 Racing, Episode 1, whatever, Star Wars Episode 1. And this was, I mean, I'll be honest, it's a little bit actually more distracting to me to have it on the back box. I've played the Circus Voltaire a couple of times. Kind of an interesting one to find. But yeah, as you were watching the wizard mode going on right now, right? yeah, it's a really neat table. The ramps in this are actually pretty insane, I would think. I really think that the layout of this one's really good. But again, I love Papaduke's design in pinball. So as far as the modes, you have 9, quote, marvels that you have to complete until you're invited to join the circus. And that's circus with a Q, C-I-R-Q-U-S. They are in a 3x3 squared grid with the row and column calls, corresponding to C-I-R-Q-U-S. And when you fill the grid, then you get the Join the Circus Wizard mode. So you have Juggler, and then you can start a Juggler multi-ball with that. Sideshow, Random Award, Ringmaster Frenzy, where you defeat the Ringmaster twice to start Frenzy Multiball. Menagerie, where you hit some targets on the left to do a large plastic captive ball. Defeated All Ringmasters, where you can do special multiball. There's High Wire Multiball, where you hit the light lock targets on either side of the left ramp, and then shoot the ramp three times to lock the balls and start High Wire Multiball. Spin is, you know, the spinner. Boom is you spell out Volt, and then once the letters are collected, the third pop bumper pops up, and you you get that after the time runs out. You get your marble after the time runs out. And every hit on that bumper counts towards lighting an extra ball. And then you have Acrobats, where you shoot the right ramp orbit four times. So you also have the character, the Ringmaster, that lives under the playfield. It's a flat circular platform attached to the top of his head. And he sits directly in front of the WOW targets in the upper right-hand corner and has a hidden magnet. So once the targets have been hit a total of three times, the magnet catches and holds the ball as the Ringmaster will rise to taunt the player. And then the ball is shot off in a random direction. You will have a very brief ball saver if it does go out of play. After it's stood up, you would have to hit it five times, and it will further expose. He's going to expose himself. A hole where you can shoot a ball into his hole. Yeah. Like I said before, there are the various multi-ball modes. In order, we have Ringmaster Frenzy, Ringmaster Raz, Ringmaster Special. And the Ringmaster Battle, which you get if you have defeated all the Ringmasters. So those are your big four Ringmaster multiballs. The other ones, like I said, are High Wire, Juggler, Neon, which is one of the Sideshow Random Awards with three balls, Strike and Arc multiball, which is a two-ball multi. The Ringmaster ones are all two-ball as well. High Wire, Juggler, Neon are all three. And then, of course, when you get after all nine, then you have your Join the Circus Wizard mode, where you have to spell Circus, Unmask Voltaire, Meet the Circus, and then you have Party Multiball. And Join the Circus ends when either all of them drain in any of the first three phases, or when the three balls drain in the fourth arc of it. So Circus Voltaire, for anyone who likes to play the virtual versions, it was formerly available in Pinball Arcade until June 30th, 2018. Williams Midway license did expire. Then it was licensed to Zen Studios, who had that in Pinball FX3, and as an unlockable in Williams Pinball Mobile for iOS and Android. And there were unlicensed versions for Visual Pinball for Windows. But yeah, I really enjoy this one. I mean, I've pretty much have never played a Papa Duke designed table that I don't like. The only thing that freaks me out is that, you know, I'm just like this person that, like, if a game has, like, a head on it, it kind of freaks me out. Like, maybe this one wasn't as bad as, like, say, Funhouse, because Funhouse freaks me the fuck out. It's just, it's that Rudy head, you know? But it's a really enjoyable table with an awesome theme, quite a bit of challenge to it. And I'll be honest, the last time I played a Circus Voltaire, I think was in Las Vegas at the Pinball Museum when I went with Tiara.
Hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. The classic pinball of the month of December, our last one for this year. Is Circus Voltaire.
All right. Awesome choice. I think I remember seeing this one when I went to that same museum in Vegas, mm-hmm. which hopefully I'll be able to visit again at some point. So, all right. So great choice for, I like how you kind of picked something that kind of transitioned to a new era of pinball. It's a good kind of note to go out on for the classic pinballs. I will point out that the chat has a lot of lovely ideas for 2021, although ultimately it's up to you. Some of the ideas.
I've got a month to decide.
Yeah, some of the ideas that are getting thrown out there, Indie Game of the Month. Classic remake of the week. A couple people were suggesting crappy game. In my opinion, you've already kind of been doing crappy game. Like, you did Miss Nude World 96 as a classic game once. Like, crappy games are sometimes classic because they're crappy.
But the thing is that usually when I pick a crappy game, there's like a notability to it, like either in pop culture or that it led to something, you know, or it's like a cult classic.
Yeah.
Wasn't that like we did that for like one of the... Was it one of the numbered episodes, like a 666?
It was like a six. Like it was like 600 or 500 or one of the. Yeah, it was an anniversary. Yeah, it was one of those. So, and as pointed out, it was an in joke from the show. It sure was. Some ideas of my own that weren't said. I'll just throw out there for your consideration. I was thinking classic collectible, like you've done Peripheral, but then I was thinking of like some of those like crazy things in the vault, like that game that had the dish. I don't know. It's a classic collectible.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Dish of the week.
Classic.
I'll do classic recipe. Classic pie of the month.
Another idea I had, since I know you're all about like books and things. Actually, two. Now one just popped in my head. Classic instruction manual or box art might be a good one, where you talk about, and I know that might not be great for a podcast, but I think it might be a cool thing to acknowledge, you know, especially because I know you got a design background, so it might be a fun thing to talk about. But I was thinking, when I originally thought of book, I was thinking we have all these magazines that have gone by the wayside, you know, and like other, like, you know, printed books that we might remember. I don't know, like the strategy guide that everybody got for Final Fantasy with Nintendo Power, you know, things like that.
I'll think about it.
What was the other one? I had one other one that I thought of. And now I can't remember. Oh, well. But you have a lot to think about for 2021. Okay.
Yeah, and Bobby did rightly point out that I did Halo as a classic game, but bear in mind, I did it for money.
Yes, that is right. That is right.
I put a bounty of $500 to pay my mother's bills, and I did Halo because of the generosity of our Orange Lounge listeners. Yes, Bobby, you totally paid for that, and my mother thanks you. It kept her in her house and fed for a month. So thank you very much for your kindness to my mom.
I like how YYR is going meta here, saying a classic OLR clip of the month. Oh, we don't have 12 classic moments.
Classic OLR episode. Like, I remember any shit we've done.
I don't remember. Dark Tetsuya is going to take over the segment because he knows more about this show than I do.
I remember laying in your bed, Rob, at the apartment eating Loki's waffles.
No, you know who knows more about this show than me, you, and Loki combined? Misty. Misty knows more about this show than any of us. Like, I think the only way the only way you're getting that segment is if Misty volunteers to do it.
Maybe I'll do classic OLR listener of the month.
Aw, that'd be cute. I like that. We could.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't want to leave anybody out.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe you could do people that aren't really here anymore. Like, that sounds really morbid. You know, people like Puppy, right? Like, he's got like a kid, and they're all into Star Wars. The 23rd
Drew and his cat,
Drew and his joke book, and yeah, they're DDR Angel is streaming now under I forgot
like her. Tech Angel.
It's Tech Angel. Thank you. I was almost a complete jerk. I knew it was something Angel. So anyway, all right. Look, we got to move on. So. Yeah, we'll Darksoccer will stew on this question, and we'll let you know soon.
Okay. I'll tell you what, find me on my Twitter at Darksoccer, and you know, start a thread. Leave me some ideas, shit. I'll take a look at it because I don't know what to do.
All right. Well, speaking of iconic listeners of OLR's past, and present and future, YYR, our friend out there on the East Coast. You know, we have these things that are on the Orange Lounge Radio Wiki that are the Orange Lounge Radio dream games. So just, we haven't had one in a while. I think some things we've kind of just, you know, mentioned off the cusp, but especially in some of the earlier days of the podcast format of the show and so forth, we've kind of thrown out these ideas like that should be a game. That needs to be a game. And so a few of these ideas have gone out there, and YYR has put together some of these games as a reality. Like, he actually asked, can I make these games a reality? And the first one he ever did was Bungee Ferret Tossing, and that was a game that was available on the Xbox 360 Indie Arcade. And YYR, a little more recently, in the era of the PlayStation Vita, did a game called Pixel Shits, but he had to rename it Pixel Poops. But the dream game was technically Pixel Shits, and this is something that Darksoccer just verbally pooped here on the show. sometime. But look at you. It became a game, and everybody that listens to the show knows about it. So,
and now you have your very own direct for your game.
Yes. So that's what we're getting to. We're going to get to YYR's official Pixel Poops Direct. And now I've been a very good boy, and Scout's Honor, I have no idea what he's going to talk about here. Well, I assume it's Pixel Poops. I don't know if he has any other surprises or what's happening, but we're going to play it. So I'm going to let you guys, so Dark Soccer and Loki, in order for you guys to see it, you're going to need to bring up the feed and watch it on your side. So if you guys can mute yourselves and do that so you can see it.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
I just realized I've inspired YYR to take a big shit on a video game.
Yes, you have.
Thanks, dude.
All right. So mute yourselves, guys, and make your way to the Twitch page so you can see this. And I'm actually going to be watching this for the first time, too, but I am going to go on mute. I will say for the podcast listeners, this is about an 8.5-minute video. I'm assuming there is going to be gameplay footage of some kind. It may not translate very well to a podcast. I don't know how YYR did this. I don't know because I haven't really seen the video. So if you need to, this segment is about 8.5 minutes. And if you want to see the video, I'm almost certain YYR will put it up on his Twitter at YYR_, as well as his website, which is YYRgames.com. Okay, and he says there's voiceover the whole time. So good. He thought of you podcasties and you won't get bored. But if you want to see the video side of it, it will be up on those sites. Absolutely. So it's podcast friendly. All right. Then without further ado, let's get to it. The Pixel Poops Direct. From YYR Games.
Welcome to Pixel Poops Direct. I'm Aaron Toplitzky, creator of Pixel Poops. Let's not mince words here. As you know, 2020 has been the year of shit. Possibly the shittiest year so far in many of our lifetimes. The good news is, it's almost over. The bad news is, there's one more piece of shit in store for you. Pixel Poops is coming to Steam.
That's right, this Atari 2600-inspired pile of shit from 2015 is coming back. Once again, you'll play as an angry human with the highest metabolism imaginable, on a mission to exact vengeance on happy, motivated joggers. Why? Because you can, and you're doing it the only way you know how. Small shits will only slow the joggers down, but keep shitting, and you'll produce huge piles of shit. These'll stop joggers in their tracks, and you'll score a point. And if you manage to combo multiple joggers in a single pile of shit, you get a bonus. Can't shit anymore? No problem, just head back over to this taco restaurant and eat up. But don't let too many of the joggers get away, or it's game over.
So, what was the point of bringing this shit back? Well, actually, the Steam version has a lot of new shit. First off, there are three entirely new ways to play.
Game 2 is Remix, which switches things up in new ways. Some joggers will now be able to switch direction. You'll also have to look out for this guy. He's a tax collector. His name? Feces. And if he touches you, you'll be fined 10 points. But if you can trap him in a nice warm pile, you'll get double points. Finally, say hello to your ultimate weapon, the poop bomb. Just hold the button down and... This will totally empty your chamber, though, so you'll need to hurry and eat some tacos to keep going. And you'll have to score some points before you can use the poop bomb again. Game 3 is Alternate, which allows you to get creative with your shit. Joggers who reach your small or medium shits will turn 90 degrees to the right. This will allow you to corral them around, hopefully into a nice big steaming pile. Your shits will slowly degrade, but... don't worry, you've got more. Last but not least, Game 4 is Simple. Many Atari 2600 games have included a mode with simpler gameplay suitable for young children. Pixel Poops now follows in those footsteps, so you can share it with your kids.
Stuck in poop.
Yeah, they went stuck in poop! Is that funny?
Yeah. No.
Joggers are limited to horizontal movement, jumbo shits are easier to make, and trap joggers disappear more quickly. However, this also makes it harder to get combo bonuses, so a challenge still awaits. All four of these games can be enjoyed on normal or hard difficulty levels. And you can also try all of them in time attack mode. In this mode, you'll want to score 200 points as quickly as possible, so combo bonuses are key. There are no penalties for joggers escaping in this mode, so you can also play at whatever pace you like. The game ends when you reach the target score or quit.
All told, there are 4 games, 2 difficulties, and 2 modes, adding up to 16 different ways to play, and every one of those will have a Steam leaderboard. There will be achievements to unlock, too. So, maybe you're wondering, how much do I need to pay for this shit? Well, Pixel Poops will be free to play! But of course we're going to do the shitty thing and try to fleece you for money once you try it. So, only game 1 is free. You'll be able to try out the other games briefly, but to complete a full round, you'll need to fork over $2. Yep, $2. Everything mentioned here is yours for $2. But here's the thing. I want to really monetize this shit. So there's other shit for sale, too. Do you like the sound effects? Like, and especially, do you perhaps want to use them in your own projects, in your podcasts, or in your own games? Well, for another $2, you can have them and do whatever you like with them, royalty free. Or maybe you're looking for more shit to play and pay for. Well, I've got you covered there. I would like to proudly introduce Pixel Poop 64. Wait, what? Were you expecting 3D? Oh, you meant that other 64. I was talking about the Commodore 64.
This entirely new take on Pixel Poops plays a bit differently. For one thing, there's no restaurant. Instead, you eat food off the ground, like any other self-respecting video game character. There are some other differences as well, mostly due to hardware limitations. I think you'll find it to be a refreshingly shitty new experience. And if you were wondering, yes, this is actually running on an emulated Commodore 64. The game will be distributed as a Commodore 64 disk image. You can play it on an emulator of your choice, or if you've got the right tools, you can make a disk and play it on an actual Commodore 64. And what's the damage? That's right, also $2.
And now, if you tell me that you want all this shit, I'll tell you that you're fucking crazy. But also that I'll give you a discount. $5 gets it all. I appreciate your support very much. Whether you're looking forward to buying this or not, I'll be posting on the VOG Discord regarding playtesting opportunities, so please look forward to that. You'll be able to try it out for free before it comes out. And as far as when it's hitting the virtual water, it'll be either late December or early January, and if you keep listening to Orange Lounge Radio, you'll be the first to find out for sure. I want to thank you for watching this shitty presentation. We're about to reach its rear end. But there's just one more thing I need to show you. Let's check it out.
And now, the new game for your Nintendo Entertainment System. From...
Well, I can't say anything right now because I can't really go into more details about that either because that would give stuff away. So I can't say anything because I can't say anymore.
Poop button. Yeah, press the poop button.
All right. Hold up. I have some questions. Hold up. First off, I have to do this because that was brilliant. YYR. That was so good that I lost
I no longer regret any of the words that have ever come out of my mouth.
You don't regret any of this shit? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So am I understanding correctly that that Bobby actually made the correct prediction apparently in chat and said this some time ago, that Loki's secret project was so secretive because it kind of like was only part his idea. So Pixel Poops number two is your game, Loki?
It is my game. And so here's how it started out. So I decided like a while back, like I ran across like I wanted to make a Nintendo game.
YYR, you get on Discord right now. I know I said the end of the show. You get on Discord right now because I need to, you didn't prepare me for that one. That's not fair.
Like my birthday.
Loki.
It feels like my birthday.
It is. It's your late birthday. Join any of the rooms, YYR. I'll pull you in. Okay. So he says he's updating. I'm sorry, Loki. You can continue.
Okay. So like, so what it was is that I found this software like called Nest Maker, which is basically it's a kind of a front end to start making Nintendo games, like actual Nintendo games. Granted, the stuff I'm doing, there's a lot of assembly coding, so I had to learn 6502 assembler to be able to start doing this. But it's kind of a front end to help you starting not from scratch. So I needed a simple project to do with this. So I thought, okay, I can remake the original Pixel Poops because it's a pretty simple game, and that'll help me learn, you know, this Nest Maker stuff. But then I decided I wanted to go ahead and do a sequel. So then I kept working on it. Originally, my plan was I was just going to put it out and say, look, I made this, and then like surprise everybody, including YYR. But then I couldn't like keep it a secret, so I had to show him. And then he decided, hey, he's all, oh, well, I'm also working on this. And then we decided that we're going to kind of work together to do different things. So, like, I've been working on this completely separate from him. But, yeah, it's a Nintendo game. As you saw, it is two players simultaneously. Tons of different levels in there. Lots of different, like, themes and stuff. And it's coming along.
All right, YYR is here, by the way, and he's on audio.
Hello.
You're just audio only tonight because I'm trying to fix the disc, but that's okay. If you're just gonna stay audio only, then I don't need to fix anything.
Yeah,
okay.
You don't want to see me. I'm not wearing a shirt right now.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Keep it off. All right, that's fine. Sorry, the webcam's gonna look a little messed up. Sorry during this part. Let me just go back. I'll go back to here. You don't have to see me. You can look at Dark Sakura, the game idea, and Loki, the game maker, which is the big gag that we're all just kind of. getting here is that Loki's secret game. When did you find out about this, YYR? So you've known about Loki's secret game project for a while. And I gotta say, with all respect to your game, YYR, you went for a very like kind of old school aesthetic with it. It was a very like Atari 2600 looking thing. And then when I look at what Loki did, I'm like, this is like way different, but this is like what I would logically expect a graphical upgrade of this sort to look like, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, he really nailed the aesthetic.
That was what I was going for too. Yeah.
And yes, Bobby, you did call it. It was right before the direct started. He was like, "I bet it's actually a YYR game," and I felt I had to respond in chat, otherwise people would get suspicious. So I was like, that's a stretch. What are you talking about?
Well, and to be fair, he had kind of put that out there before when Loki wouldn't talk about it for weeks and weeks. He's like, he's not talking about it because it's someone else's game that he's making. And I kind of like, well, and I honestly, I brushed it off. I was like, what, whose game would he be making? That doesn't make any sense. And now that I know it, it's like, oh my God, of course, that shit was right in front of my face the whole time. So Amazing, amazing work, YYR. So some folks in chat are saying, I need to see that trailer right now.
And I've got you. I'll hook you up in just a sec.
Okay. Well, actually,
I already have it uploaded.
Oh, okay. I mean, I have it on YouTube. It's going to go live at midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific. And I will post a link. If the show is not over by then, I'll post a link in chat. Otherwise, it'll be on my Twitter. But if you uploaded it also, go right ahead.
I just feel like this is the best Hanukkah present ever. It's 7 nights of shit.
I was just about to say, Dark Soccer, this whole thing came out of your mouth in the beginning. And how do you feel now?
Well, I know I'm already full of shit.
Well, but how do you feel knowing not only is it a YYR thing, but this is that big mystery? You're going to have to buy the man a pizza.
By the way, I'd like to mention that it's also going to be on cartridge. I have cartridges.
What? How are you doing
I also
that?
I have
I require this to be in my life.
Yeah, so I have a ROM burner, and I've got a cartridges, or at least a few. I did a very limited run of those, but I've got that, so once I'm done, it will be on physical cartridges.
I'm sorry, I'm just going to change the shot, so you can all see how shocked I am right now. Like, what? Like, Loki just fucking started Limited Run Games 2 in his basement for his new project? What the hell? This is crazy.
But anyway.
I'm never going to be quiet again.
You never.
I will say the first shit that comes to my mind.
You never were, Dark Sakura. That's why we love you and why this show has lasted as long as it has.
New game, bitch, please.
So, okay. So, YYR, like, I'm going to be honest. The first part and everything, I kind of expected that. I was like, okay, he's talked about Pixel Poops going to Steam before. Okay, new game modes, super cool, but, like, a very YYR thing. Like, a patent thing for your games. You have all these different modes. You've done that since the Snake 360 days. Snake 360 days. And it's continued in things like super multitasking. It's like, you can do the multitasking all at once. You can do the multitasking very easy. You can do the multitasking with challenges, right? So, like, that part, I was like, okay, this is, you know, I'm with it. But now, talk me through, like, the Commodore 64. Like, where the hell did that come from?
Well, so, and it's funny, because this whole thing started, as he mentioned, Loki was working on this thing unbeknownst to anybody, including me. And then, what was that? Maybe like 5-6 weeks ago, you just like sent me a Twitter message and you were like, oh, well, by the way, and you sent me an animated GIF. And
we need to talk about intellectual property for a minute.
That's why it's going to release. Just dump it and release it. And it's already on the internet.
Dump it.
But no, I saw that. He got my full endorsement immediately. And it was like I had already been toying with the notion of remaking Pixel Poops and putting it on Steam. So this just accelerated the process. I literally just dropped everything I was doing with, you know, super multitasking and anything else. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Let's do this. And it took me a weekend to make the original game. It took me a month to port it to what I'm currently using. And I mean, granted, a lot of that was because when I made it, I didn't have a daughter. I was also like, you know, just kind of throwing it together, not publishing it, not really planning around any of the menus or anything that I'm planning on putting in it. But yeah, it took a lot longer to put that together. And, yeah, as far as the extra stuff, I don't know if anyone noticed. Only people that played games on Atari VCS would notice this. The toggling of the difficulty and the toggling of the time attack mode, that is a direct reference to the difficulty A and difficulty B switches the console itself.
I did pick up the way you were saying that. Like, it's 16 different gate was a very much like an Atari 2600 thing. Like, that would have been box art. In fact...
Yep.
I don't want to volunteer Dark Sakura for anything, but I think one way to bring this full circle there, and I don't even know if this is something that's really in your wheelhouse, Dark Sakura, but
live stream it.
No, not well, yes, that's a given, but like, we need classic Atari 2600 box art with the thing that says, you know, 16 games. That might be outside your wheelhouse, Dark Sakura. I don't know, but we need to like commission it or something, and I'm willing to do it. You know,
I could do it.
Okay.
I mean, I'd have to break out like my color pencils and do a really fine art shit.
But I just, yeah, it was great. And by the way, I lost it because the chat is bringing it up too. I lost it at that tax collector being named Feces.
Feces.
Now, Loki, did you know about all of the other Pixel Poop stuff? Or was this all new to you? Did you know about the Pixel Poop 64 where he's actually squatting?
Yes.
That killed me.
Yes, I did. And I've actually seen the direct already, but like... Yeah, he had told me that he was working on the Commodore 64 version and the Steam version and stuff. I didn't know about like the like enhancements they did, or like all of the enhancements and stuff. But and I hadn't actually seen the Commodore 64 version, but until today.
Today,
and wow. I'll interject: the Commodore version existing is a direct result of Pixel Poops number 2 existing, and me saying, you know what? That sounds like fun. Let me try also. And what I did was I busted out the same exact Gary Kitchens game maker that I was using to make games when I was 8 and 9 and 10 years old. And I loaded it up on an emulator and I got to work.
Wow.
That's awesome.
It's just, and the fact that you're shitting on multi-platforms is just killing me. It's amazing. Okay. I have to see this trailer for the Loki project one more time because I wasn't ready for it. So now I need to watch it one more time now that I have it in my mind. So I think what I can do, and I'm doing this live on the fly, sorry guys, but I think what I can do if I actually pick the movie, I think I can fast forward ahead a little bit here. So here's where, okay.
The new game.
Big reveal. All right, the new game.
I can't really go into more details about that either because that would give stuff away. So I can't say anything because... I can't say anymore.
I just now noticed. I was so shocked. I wasn't even looking at somebody to see this. How like the people are actually turning around when they get stuck.
That's amazing.
And there's two. This is a two-player game.
Yep. And you like the face expression when they're pooping? That's my favorite.
The best thing I've ever seen in my life.
I'm dying. So Loki, here's my next question. If I don't want to play that on a Nintendo, are you doing like a Steam release or something?
Well, it's supposed to be DLC on the actual Pixel Poops 1 that YYR is doing. So you'll be able to. I think it's still going to be a ROM file. There is a way to convert it so that you can play it. Like you can actually upload it to Steam. So there is a way to do that for NES ROM files.
It's doing is it's just including an emulator so that you double click the game in your library and it launches the NES emulator in the game automatically.
All right. And Bobby, there are a lot of people asking in chat about the cartridge. Like people are freaking out.
Yeah. Like I didn't get many. Like I said, because, you know, cartridges are not cheap. So I have 6.
Oh my gosh.
Right now. But I mean, that's just because I didn't want to like go all in with like 100 of them or something. That'd be ridiculous.
Well, hold on a second. So how much do these cartridges run?
I don't remember offhand. I think it's like at least, I think 15 for the board and I don't remember. I'd have to look at my invoices, but basically, so like it's even got the sleeve, which is kind of cool. So these are from France. So they've got the actual, this is empty. So I actually have the boards right here. So I've got the actual, this is a Mapper 30 board.
It's green screening out because it's a green board, but that's all right.
Oh, yeah.
it's fine.
It's a Mapper 30 board. It's got, I don't know how to necessarily do it yet because like I said, I'm still kind of new to the NES dev stuff, but it has flash memory on it instead of, remember like the old Zelda and stuff like that where it actually had save memory but it had like an actual battery on it. This is flash memory now, but it operates in the same manner as that, so you could potentially, if I'm good enough to do that, have a high score table or something like that.
Wow.
Which I may try to add if I get a point to do that. But the main you know, right now I wanted to get like the basics. So it's been a challenge, obviously, with the NES because you have to fit everything into the ROM size there. So
yeah.
I have an original soundtrack of three songs that I had commissioned, done by this guy, Cosmic Gem, who does a lot of Mega Man fan games. As you might have noticed, that sounds kind of Mega Man-ish in the trailer.
Isn't it
That's
good?
One of the level
it
sounds.
It did. I didn't it, even I've think been, about that music. I just figured you lifted it from Free Music Archive or something.
No. That's like completely original.
My God. We're going to be able to have like an OLR soundtrack between what Jamie does, what you do. And by the way, there's a gag coming up in about like 10 minutes when it comes to music and this show that you guys know what I'm talking about, that email we got last week. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, my God, this is so much talent around the OLR universe. This is crazy.
Yeah, so there is one song. So there's three songs, the title song and two level songs I commissioned from somebody to do those.
You already have a more diverse soundtrack than Dragon Quest XI. Good job.
And then there is another song that was one of those. It was on the Open Game Art site, so it's a Creative Commons, but it's another song. So that's all I could fit in my audio because like I had to create sound effects for all the poop sound effects and stuff. So some of the fun things that are in the game. So the like for example the pause screen. You can still move your character. Well, you can move your characters in place, so you can actually like dance around and stuff like that. And the pause screen is just kind of fun. And then at the end of when you beat a level, you actually goes into this little celebration animation. But you can also move around and then do like the funny squatting things because I love that face. The face is hilarious, and it's just funny to do that. So, yeah, there's lots of little Easter eggs. I may have thrown some cheat codes in there as well.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm sorry. This is running so long, but like y'all blindsided me with this and her. Now I understand why I got that message from YYR that was like, you're probably going to want to talk to me right after it airs. I'm like,
I found Amicom boards for $2 a pop, by the way.
Oh my gosh. All right. So anyway, the cartridge thing, Loki, you'll have to figure that out on your own. Obviously,
I was thinking it was I have to look, but I was trying to target someone because I also still have to do label printing and all that and packaging. So I was targeting somewhere around $40, but I don't know. Yeah, I have to price
there's
it all
easily
out.
At least five people in chat that are going to pay that right now, if not
there's
more than
the person
that.
Sitting in this chair who will.
I would say go ahead, open pre-orders. I mean, get a number so that you know how many you need.
To be fair, he says he hasn't completed the – I love how we're just talking. Now we're all your managers, Loki. All right. So he says he hasn't completed the process yet and hasn't done it. So let him get through that whole process to make sure it's, error-free and he has it the way he likes it. Then open up the pre-orders because you don't want to end up on that Kickstarter thing where, like, I'm going to get all this money for this thing that I fucked up and I can't make it. So
exactly. And as Bobby puts out, let me make one.
Exactly.
First. And, yeah, that's definitely the goal. I still have to learn I've got all the hardware to do. I just have to learn the process. And what's great though is like if you are interested in this software, so Nest Maker is what I started off using. Granted, you can build an NES game without coding if you want. Granted, it's going to be incredibly basic, but you could do that. And I highly recommend it. It's like $40 for the software. Granted, the stuff I'm doing now, I'm completely. There's not a lot of documentation. They do a good job with like some tutorial videos, but it's a lot of intro stuff, like really beginner things. So a lot of stuff I'm having to learn on the fly and figure out how their stuff works. So I'm like rewriting a lot of their like input systems and stuff like that. So you can get and do some pretty complicated things out there, but like it is definitely a fun tool to play around with. So if you go to the new8bitheroes.com, they sell Nest Maker there. There's a link to... You can get started with like the actual hardware, like burning a cart. I did my first cart through there because it came with the actual writer. But then the other like five additional ones I tried through this French site that just opened up. So, but I, like I said, I'd have to price it out. But yeah, I highly recommend checking it out. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I've had a lot of fun putting it together. Definitely. I'm finally glad I can talk about it now. Show progress. It's like, I'm like, I need to tell somebody. But yeah, it's been ongoing. Like, was it this, YYR was saying earlier, he's like, yeah, I don't like, the direction thing's not working well. He needs to move diagonal and stuff like that. So I had to rewrite the input system to allow that. But I finally learned how to do that. And it's all assembly. Like, I've never programmed in assembly before. So
I've
been doing that. But yeah, it's just a lot of challenges cramming it all in that ROM size.
Cramming all that shit in there.
Is that group that did that documentary?
Yeah, it is. So yeah, Mystic Searches is his game that he's got. He did a documentary. It's on Amazon. Great community.
I have Blu-ray on their Etsy too.
Yeah. It's a great community. There's lots of Nest Maker games out there that people then. There's some guys like there's Cutter Cross on there that they have some really like crazy games that they've made with it. Like there's one they're doing right now. It's a point and click adventure game.
What?
And they've actually gotten, I don't know how they did it, but they've gotten the Super NES Mario Paint mouse to work with it on an NES. I don't know. It's just some crazy stuff. But like the whole, you know, NES dev scene's pretty cool. So definitely go check it out. But yeah, I'm definitely excited about it. I'm still working on it. I'm trying to get it done this year. I'm shooting for this year.
You know, and
like
so,
I said,
something I was going to say, like, you know, and you've been talking about, oh, I finally got the playable loop. I've got all this. And when I look at that footage, I'm like, oh my God, this really is like done. Like, this isn't like the Time to Car thing where it was not really like you had an idea there, but it wasn't like really fleshed out. And I'm looking at this yeah. And I'm like, this is ready.
It's because I did it the right way this time. I didn't try to put all of the things.
You could say, see, Bobby's been yelling at you since day one. You need to make a game based on an existing game. So Loki,
like we're like trying to figure out the storyline for this game. I still haven't quite figured one out. And I get it that like there's not really a story to it, but like. I've run across like so many like dumb ideas, and I'm definitely going to go with the dumbest of them whenever I figure out what that is. It's just like, oh yeah, you know, one of them was like something about like that the taco stands were actually like they've taken over the world. There's so many of them. That's why you see in like one of the in the trailer there's one in a graveyard. You know, there's graveyard taco stands. Like they actually have them built into the crypts. So it's just ridiculous stuff like that. And yeah, there's like different characters. So like there's the ghost you saw there. I don't have it implemented yet, but it's going to disappear. And so it'll be invisible and you have to like capture it. Or I started doing a dog that actually eats the smaller pieces of fecal. So like, you know, strange stuff like that. But yeah,
like I said, this segment has gone on a very long time, but I'm sorry, I'm blown away because I just did not realize that you two were going to essentially buddy up in a way and really deliver on this idea. And of course, I know we're really focusing on Loki's game, but that's because that's been a central plot of this show for like the past year. So to have it just, you know, subtly revealed as a one more thing here is I wasn't prepared for that. Thank you. But certainly not to overshadow what you're doing on your own too, YYR, is that, you know, again, the Commodore 64, you've got the sound effects in there. You're still charging not nearly enough money for it. And the world is going to thank you for it. This is great. This is funny because, it's Dark Soccer's idea. YYR made the game. Loki made the new game. I did literally nothing on this. And I still
promoted.
I guess so. I still feel like there's a part of me that's so excited about like I had a hand in this somehow.
Your moral you had your hand in the shit. Valuable.
Rob, there was shit in your
I hand. Did. I had a hand in this shit somehow. So there's and Bobby Blackwell says I had nothing to do with this, but you were the you were the first to figure it out. So you know.
That is true.
So anyway, okay. I've got to try to move on with the show. Obviously,
Keith Berry says that you had shit to do with it.
Yeah. Obviously, we're going to hear more about this in the coming months or really weeks because you said December or January. Let's set the expectation January, I think.
Yeah. In order for it to release in December, it would have had to be out before the winter sale. And like since you have to have the store page completely finished, including the trailers, the screenshots, all the text, everything, and then it has to be in coming soon status for 2 weeks before the game comes out, I would literally have to have everything ready in, I think, 2 days.
It's just not going to happen.
So
that's fine.
It's January. By the way, I have no problem taking a back seat too. I was just as blown away by what Loki has been doing as anybody else. It's amazing, and the graphics are fantastic, and the music is great, and I can't wait to, well, I have played it in the early version, but I can't wait to play the final full thing, and it's awesome, and I'm honored to be able to publish it.
He couldn't have done it without you, and you couldn't have done it without her. So, and I'm just sitting here real happy right now because this is all awesome. Like, I feel like I'm on ground, the starting ground of this whole thing. And I'm just like, and people in chat are talking about they need to speed run that at Awesome Games Done Quick. It's a perfect candidate for the awful games block, but we mean that with love.
The thing is, I don't think it's an awful game, but it would fit in with the Cuso Grande.
Well, Loki, YYR, if that game shows up in the awful games done quick, compliment or insult?
I would be happy. I don't care. If
that's what I thought.
No publicity is bad publicity.
Exactly.
I'd be happy that shit would be getting out in front of more eyeballs.
And Bobby's volunteering to host it. So now I really, then I better be the one to speedrun it. All right. I guess I have a new purpose in life. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, we're going to be hearing more and more about this in the coming weeks, because now Loki gets to openly talk about the project. So, and he's talked about some of the things that still need to be done there. YYR, please keep us posted for the release date on Steam. We're going to do all we can to help you out. Please try to, and I will help you get into contact with some other podcasts too, if you need it. Try to get the word out.
Sure.
Your games are so fucking good, and they deserve to be discovered. The success that these indie studios are having, you deserve it as well. And this isn't just with the poopy thing. This is with super multitasking and all the brilliant things you've done. I really hope for the best for you. I really do.
So, thank you. That means a lot.
Well, it's well deserved.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
You are awesome sauce.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Well, I couldn't have done it without all of you.
Even me?
Yes. Even you, Rob.
Even me. All right. All right. Well, thank you so much, YWare. Okay, I'm going to let you go. I we're going to hear from you in the coming weeks. You'll be back when the game's ready to release, when you're ready to do your big dump on Steam. These jokes are never going to get old. We're 40. I'm in my – we're all in our 40s at this point, and these jokes are not getting old. So there you go.
Nope.
All right. Take care, buddy. I'm going to move back to one of the other channels. Have a good one.
Yep. Bye.
Does anyone actually have a clip of me talking about the pixel shit? Because I really don't remember.
Ask YYR the first trailer.
I think the original video
had it.
Yeah.
I'm like crying from like laughing, but also just like the shock of that Loki's game was that. But it makes so much sense.
I went from having a really terrible morning with a very hard emotional blow to now riding this weird high. Some sort of in between. My brain's confused on feelings. I know it's good.
It's this weird thing where this show has truly come full circle. You know, like we started like talking about game. I'm talking like it's the last episode. It's not. But
we've looped the loop, honestly.
Yes, it's one of the things we've looped the loop, because now this really is, and what Loki's doing here, this product. I mean, it's one thing when it was YYR's thing, because he's like a listener, and he's like outside the bubble, so to speak, and he's putting out this product and da 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 da. But now Loki's a part of that too, who's been here since day one on OLR, and it's like now the show that talks about games has essentially, in a way, produced a game. And again, even though I'm the one uploading the MP3s every week, I had nothing to do with this. And it feels really good. I just get to play it. That's true. Bobby says Loki hasn't finished it yet. That's right. We got to give you time. The last 10% is the longest 90% or something like that, right? So
it's content. Yeah. I have to add all the content. That's why I had to like rush to get multiple levels, because it was just, well, the first level is actually the third level now, but it's just over and over and over. I should really, you guys should see like some of the actual things, because like in before each like actual, because there's worlds technically, has like a little like image and stuff, and it's, oh, that's kind of funny, some of that.
Okay, I have one more question, and then we really have to move on with the show, because it's almost 9 o'clock. We're gonna have to kind of rapid fire the rest of the show. But my question for Loki is, did the music guy know what he was making music for?
Yes, he did. He did.
What did he say?
He was just cool with it. Like I told him exactly. I gave him a description of what it was. I showed him YYR's game. I had already like some of the graphics and everything done, or actually the animated GIF that I sent to YYR, I sent to that guy as well. So he well aware of what he was making.
Wow.
And funny because enough, like I actually had you were that guy
that,
making.
That was an investment bringing him in, and a smart one, because I think that's going to, I think just the music alone there, like YYR said, is
the
like.
The music is fantastic.
The music is
literally
fucking good.
I've been listening to it in my car every day, like every day. Been listening to it in my car.
Wow.
And like the theme, because the song it played is just one, that's the first level theme, so the actual theme song is its own thing too, and then the second level theme I haven't actually put in the level yet. I'm thinking like a snow level, but it's all good, all of it
frozen shit
brown snow,
it's really, it's just gonna be slippery, so all of it is gonna be just it's such a good soundtrack.
I'm excited.
Kudos to both of you. Obviously I'm going to buy anything YYR makes, because he doesn't charge enough for it, and they're always, you know, so good. But just knowing that now you've like evolved it, I think is a good word for it. I don't want to say elevated. I would say like evolved, I think is a good word, and like made it like a very, you took a very Dark Soccer idea, you took a YYR execution, and then you somehow made these a Loki thing. Is with professional help where you needed it, like with the music and things like that, and maybe areas that weren't your comfort zone.
I tried. I learned enough of Family Track, because that's the thing about Nestmaker too. Like Nestmaker has its quirks, because it uses this library called like GG Sound or something like that, and it has, it's very quirky on how it works with audio. So I had to fix a lot of things in like that was a complicated process just to get the music in there, and trying to cram it within the ROM size, because those songs are very complicated and they take up a lot of space. So I was like, I need more music other than these three songs. I was like, okay, I got to cram like a song in there, and it was tricky, but I did manage to get one more song in there, and that's about all I can fit without bank switching. And I don't really know how to do that very well. So.
All right. Well, to be continued. This is just the beginning of this saga, I'm sure, that's been ongoing on the show for so long. And that's why I'm spending so much time on it, because, you know, this has been a product you've been talking about for a long time. And I just, again, it's the answer was so obvious and right in front of our face. But I just, Loki came up with some crazy idea, and you did. And it's great. Love seeing it. So excited to play it. So excited to become the world record speedrunner. In the game.
Now, here's, I'll finish it off with the last bit, and I don't know if you noticed, but because your character is pooping a lot, I don't know if you noticed, but the character, when he runs up on the screen, you'll notice that there is a hole cut out of the backside where it would be coming out. Because obviously you can't go through your clothes, so it's the fine details like that.
We know what he's doing. He's exit only.
So I just, next on your next rewatch of the trailer, be sure to look for that.
Hold on. I'm sorry. If it goes till 10 o'clock tonight, I'm not apologizing, because we're going to get these answers.
New experience.
You're fucking crazy. As far as when it's hitting the...
I'm sorry. I promise.
Got no crotch.
Just on the back.
So he's either ready for a hot date or a lot of poop.
I can't stop crying. Okay. All right. Let's try to get on with it. We're going to rapid fire the rest of the show here. Try to get through. Oh, my God. We have another big thing we got to talk about. Oh, my God. We got to. Okay. Let's get to it. Rapid fire news. Loki.
Mario Kart's arcade's getting a mode with infinite shells. That's kind of crazy. So that's going to be something that they're going to be patching into the Mario Kart Arcade Grand Prix DX this week, coming December 10th. So if you can find some place that's not under quarantine, you can go check it out. And then also looks like the Doom guy is going to be coming to Fall Guys soon. So that's pretty cool. I'm guessing part of the next season.
All right. Also coming up, PAX is planning the events for next year. And I know that might seem a little bold when we're still in a pandemic. But with the vaccine on the way, there are folks that are really hoping we might be able to get back to some of that convention spirit. Who knows? Next summer. At least that's what they've announced for the next PAX East. This is notable because PAX East is normally around like the March, April timeframe. I think one year it was in February. I'm sorry, guys. I haven't been to PAX East in a few years, so I forget the exact days and timeframe. But it is interesting. They are bumping it back to June so they can hopefully actually have it. I think there's a lot of hope. And, you know, when you listen to some things in the government, there's the when I'm talking like Dr. Fauci and, you know, those folks that care about COVID actually say that we could see a sense of normalcy by May or June. I hope we are. That is very true. And we can have a PAX East June 3rd through 6th in Boston. But they are going out of their way to say, if it's not safe, we're not doing it. We're only going to do it. But they want to kind of let people clear their calendars for that. So that's pretty cool. September 3rd through the 6th in Seattle, although obviously us here at VOG Network, we tend to go to Dragon Con instead. But if you are in the Seattle area, hey, cool, you can go to that. And then PAX Unplugged will be back in Philadelphia in December. They will not be having a PAX South in 2021. This is just because they had to move the other things around. They're looking to bring that back in 2022. So, you know, fingers and toes crossed. I'm trying not to get too hopeful. But if Dr. Fauci and the other doctors of the world out there say, take the vaccine, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the vaccine. So let's hope it helps. Other things to look forward to. Watam. This is the game from the Katamari Damacy creator. It was an Epic exclusive when it originally came out on PC. But now Keita Takahashi's game Watam will now be out on Steam as of December 18th. And that's about a year after it originally debuted on the Epic Game Store. So I don't know if Dark Soccer, you ever got a chance to play that game. I never did. I somehow always missed it. But I'll be checking that out probably when it makes its way to Steam, since I'm going to be using Steam to play all these new games that were announced tonight. That's for sure. Dark Soccer, what do you have for rapid fire news?
King of Fighters 15 had a trailer drop with Shunae being the main character coming through. We should be seeing the release coming out on January 7th, 2021. So cool. And other news, Sega. It looks like this might have already, no, it's still running through from the 2nd until the 8th, is there is Sega and Stand Up to Cancer are teaming up for live streams to raise awareness and fund for cancer research. So we, on the 7th is the next big one where Sega Europe is playing Total War, Warhammer 2, Alien Isolation, and Sonic Mania. And on the 8th, Relic Entertainment will be looking at some of their games.
All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. I'm thinking it might finally be slowing down this week. Loki? No. Oh, my God. All right. Let's get through them.
No, this week we've got Drawn to Life, Two Realms. That's coming out on PC, Nintendo Switch, iOS, and Android. Call of the Sea on PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Destiny 2 is getting the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X versions. Doom Eternal coming to Nintendo Switch. Puyo Puyo Tetris 2 on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Ghost Runner on Nintendo Switch. Wood Salt on PC and Nintendo Switch. Looks like Brigadine, The Legend of Runeteria on PlayStation 4. Finally, Cyberpunk 2077 on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Stadia. Orwell's Animal Farm on PC and Android. Medal of Honor Above and Beyond on PC. And last but not least, Panzer Dragoon Remake on Xbox One.
All right, heading over to Japan, checking out some of the releases there. We have on the Nintendo Switch, Dokapon Up, Mugen no Roulette in a regular and premium edition. We also have Puyo Puyo Tetris 2 getting its release, although they do say this is an English version, but that is being released in Japan this week. A game called Monkey Barrels also coming out on the Switch this week. And Dorimon, Nobita's New Dinosaur, is out this week in Japan as well. Checking out the PlayStation 5, if we have anything there. I don't think we do this. Oh, Puyo Puyo Tetris 2 is also out this week on the PlayStation 5, and that is the sole release this week on PS5. Quickly checking the PlayStation 4. I doubt we're going to see things that are very different. I do see that Cyberpunk 2077 does get a Japanese release as well, so that must be a worldwide thing. Puyo Puyo Tetris 2, also on PS4 this week, a game called Trailmakers, Japanese Rail Sim, Journey to Kyoto. It's another train game this week. We've had a lot of those lately. A game called Outward, also out on the PS4 this week. Brigadine, The Legend of Runeterra, is also out this week in a regular and limited edition. Xuanyuan Sword 7, I'm sorry if I butchered that name. It has an X-U-A-N, Xuan? Let me know how to say that. Shuyan, probably. But anyway, that game is out this week in Japan as well. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
In the UK, we have on the 8th, The Pathless on PlayStation, as well as Warhammer Chaos Baneslayer Edition. For Switch, on the 8th, we have Ori and the Blind Forest Definitive Edition and Ori and the Will of the Wisps. On the Xbox, Overcooked All You Can Eat. On several, we have Puyo Puyo Tetris 2. On the 10th, we have Warhammer Chaos Baneslayer Edition for Xbox, Cyberpunk 2077 on multiples. On the 11th for Switch, we have Ark Survival Evolved, and that is it through the next week.
All right. We're going to do some more stories for you guys, but as I mentioned, since we're running a little long because I was not able to plan appropriately because a secret was withheld from me for a very long time. I see what you did there, Loki. You switched your footage out because of what Pog Culture said in chat, huh? So now he's got footage of the new game running behind him there. Very cute touch. All right, but we're going to do some quick news stories here. We're just going to kind of run through these rapid-fire styles because I definitely want to get to the mailbag because we have something really cool in there, too, we got to get to. So, Loki, why don't you start us off?
So this was the end of Season 4 of Fortnite. So it ended with a fight against Galactus and a lot of Marvel tie-in stuff and copyright music. It was pretty cool looking. So after all that, of course, the map changed and brought back now lots of new stuff. So they have Season 5, which is Zero Point, and they've got lots of different crossovers going on, including The Mandalorian. They've also added a brand new season pass type thing that you can subscribe to as well. Lots of stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. It was pretty interesting. And then apparently there is also going to be some more crossovers with different characters from consoles. So the first, of course, being announced was Kratos is going to be in Fortnite as well on I'm assuming the PlayStation 4 version, but maybe the skin's going to be on all platforms. Lots of tie-ins. They've got lots of crossovers. That's one thing that's really been a thing in Fortnite. So,
well, it's because Fortnite is such a part of pop culture now.
Yeah, so curious to see what else is going to be coming soon. But the thought is that there's going to be more crossovers, including possibly Master Chief. So we'll have to see.
Interesting. All right. Well, if you are somebody who plays and streams on Twitch, like I'm sure many of you are getting ready to stream Loki's game on Twitch whenever it does release next year, you might sometimes tag your streams with different categories. And the very first time you stream something, sometimes the community has referred to that historically as a blind playthrough. But it was pointed out by folks in the community who happen to be blind and other folks with disabilities that maybe blind playthrough is is not exactly it's not the best language. And they actually say here a comment from
ableist.
Yeah, it's ableist. An able game, the Able Gamer COO explains, just as we used to say gay when something was bad, using disability terms as an alternate word for a negative situation or feeling is common in today's language. But just as we stop saying gay to mean bad, we can stop saying these words too. Think about the words that you choose. And so this applies to the blind playthrough tag former on Twitch. They have changed it to a more appropriate name, which would be first playthrough. And I think that's what it is anyway. And I think there's probably a lot of people that were kind of wondering, like, what does that mean anyway? So I honestly think from all angles, you know, just the fact that it's a little more sensitive to the disabled community who likes to stream games on Twitch and plenty of them. I think it's great that we have a better term that just tells what it is. So if you want to stream your first playthrough of Pixel Poops 64 or Pixel Poops 2 or whatever it is, you can use first playthrough would be the right words to use that. So pretty cool. Dark Soccer, what do you have?
I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on this one, but it's talking about how fashion and video games are really starting to discover a sort of a marriage. Video games are basically becoming a virtual runway for different fashion designers. Like, and I'll even go back, like, back in the day, I used to download, like, designer clothes for my Sims that people had put all this effort into making. And even their own fashion, even actual fashion designers are using games like The Sims or Second Life or anything else to kind of dress up in their own little fantasy world. And right now I think the Sims 4 has a deal going on with Gucci for like legit Gucci items in the game. Going back for a previous story where we talked about how video games are leading, one of the biggest leading industries in the U.S. And in fact, in the first 9 months of 2020, sales of hardware content accessories grew by 21% to $33.7 billion over the same period of the previous year. So we're getting now people in Animal Crossing, for example, recreating certain, fashion items, for the Able Sisters store. We've had a Bathing Ape have content out for League of Legends for the character Yasuo. In League of Legends as well, there's been a Louis Vuitton designer doing skins for Senna. So it's actually just really interesting that because, having an actual fashion show or having these in-person events are becoming harder and harder to do, that they are really looking to video games. Like there's another game called Goodbye Volcano High. It's done by their design team is predominantly LGBTQ+, and talks about fashion in this sort of alternate dinosaur populated world. Of course, again, there's the Animal Crossing ones where people are recreating these outfits. I think it's actually pretty neat, they're doing this as a way to drive that interest and to give back to the market and encouraging just people, fans of the series, of their clothes to get out and do their own designs as well. That Gucci pack, by the way, is called Gucci Off the Grid Cross the Sims 4. It's a $40 pack. There's the various League of Legends ones. There's Love Nikki Dress Up Queen, came back in 2015. But there's apparently been more content put out for it in the fashion industry. Cyberpunk 2077 is even talking about it with some of the character designs and clothing put in it. So I think we're actually starting to see actually not even just the fashion influencing the games, but the games influencing the fashion as well.
I like that, how video games can influence fashion. And, you know, I think a game that, you know, we know is coming out very soon, you know, Cyberpunk is kind of looking, I think fashion is going to play kind of a role in that as well, especially with all of the character customization options that are in that. And I think we've seen some of the crazy screenshots this week about that game. I think there's going to be, I think that game is going to get used as an outlet a lot for fashion and what people want to represent themselves in a virtual setting. So it'll be very interesting.
For sure.
For sure. Yeah. All right. Loki.
All right. So Microsoft has purchased the online tournament platform Smash.gg. They made the announcement via a Twitter. And basically what's supposed to happen now is that it's just going to be running kind of as business as usual. They're saying they're going to be utilizing the additional resources from Microsoft to strengthen the platform and make kind of the destination site for esports tournaments. But I'm curious to see what additional things they're going to do with this site. I'm still kind of early. They didn't say for the, it looks like it's going to, it was purchased for an undisclosed amount. So they don't know how much the site was purchased for, but I'm kind of curious to see what their strategy is behind this with, you know, this acquisition. They've been doing a lot of acquisitions.
I wanted to use this story as a segue, and I'm not going to have enough time to get into it, but I wanted to talk about some of the things that are going on with the Nintendo tournament side of things. And I kind of made a tongue-in-cheek reference at the beginning of the show about how, you know, Nintendo ended up canceling that Splatoon tournament because everybody was using the tags with free Melee and stuff. If I understand correctly, they did that. They ended up doing the tournament on their own. The organizers just did it without Nintendo support, and it probably ended up having more viewers as a result of all the free publicity of Nintendo pulling out. So, That at least that's how I interpreted it. That's for sure. So SSG100 Matt says there's some breaking news with Nintendo going on right now. Oh fuck! Now what? it's another day in 2020.
Well, it was someone was they were selling Joy-Cons that were customized with Etika stuff on it, and they put a stop to it. Nintendo told them to cease selling those.
And not too surprised about that. I mean, that's they're protecting their IP. I would say they have a right to do that stuff. But the tournament scene really, I think, and what's interesting with Microsoft getting involved with this, because the tournament scene starting to revolt, basically, against Nintendo is very fascinating to me. And I'm really curious to see where this ends up.
Well, considering that they wanted to be esports with all the, like, Splatoon 2 and stuff, that's how they kind of position that, and now they're kind of, I don't know, it's just so bad.
It's complicated
sometimes.
Because again, like, and I talked about this on the show where we talked about the tournament, you know, getting canceled, about the Melee, you know, kind of having to use an emulator to play. It's like I kind of get why Nintendo had to do it, but I don't know, sometimes it's in the way you deliver the message, and maybe using the lawyers and cease and desist wasn't the best thing. Who knew? Bobby Blackwolf pointing out it's that term Joy-Con that's an issue. If they hadn't called them Joy-Cons, they probably wouldn't have gotten cease and desisted. Because that
is
trademark.
Yeah, but couldn't they have just said, hey, you know, this is a, you know, a protected term. You know, please remove that from your description and then we're cool. Instead of, like, take it down. I mean, like, I don't know. It just seems ridiculous.
Speaking of Nintendo, Bobby wanted me to bring up, even though he brought it up on his show, and you guys should be listening to both, but Bobby did bring up the whole, that thing in the Nintendo firmware that's hidden. There's some Google Analytics tracking data that is turned on by default, and I don't think any of us like these opt-in by default sorts of things. So if you aren't already aware, you may want to go into your Nintendo system, into the firmware. It's kind of buried in there. Bobby just put a link in chat, but if you want more information, it's on a lot of the Nintendo blogs. For example, Nintendo Life wrote an article about it a couple days ago, that the Google Analytics data collecting is on the Switch firmware in by default. You can go in there and turn it off if you don't want Google tracking that kind of data. Probably if you play a lot of Legend of Zelda, then Google's going to know to start selling you or to start showing you, like, Zelda shirts and things of that nature. That's probably what they're doing with it. So something to keep in mind.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I guess. I don't know. It being that your Google account's not necessarily tied to that console, I get it. They could probably look at your Wi-Fi or something like that, but
yeah.
It's not really tied to your Google account, so, like, I would think maybe they're just collecting.
Yeah, but if you've ever logged into the website, it might be able to drive that, get that bridge together. Yeah, because and a lot of people connect through Facebook to and Twitter to get friend requests, so that is built in there. Yeah, so there's ways. All right, Anyway, one more story here, and I may mispronounce the name of this place, so Jamie, you may have to throw me a life vest here, but this is a sad story about an arcade in Tokyo that is closing pretty much permanently, and it's because of the pandemic. Ikebukuro, I think is the name of it. Did I say that right?
Ikebukuro?
Yes.
Okay.
They're closing permanently, and, you know, sad, but it's, yeah. So, oh, I'm sorry. Hello. That is the district...
I think that was the name of
the landmark there. I misstated it. Sorry, guys. The landmark Silk Hat is the arcade in that district, and that is what is closing. Sorry, a faux pas on my part there. And so that is closing. The reason why I want to bring this up, usually, you know, we've heard of a lot of things closing, but what makes this relevant is that this was the arcade where Dance Dance Revolution was playtested many years ago. So it's kind of sad to see that go away. But they are going to be closing their doors. They are at the end of Sunshine 60 Dori and going to be closing. So that's Silk Hat, again, is the name of the arcade. And it's been referenced in some anime and things like that. So, all right. All right. Let's get to the listener roundtable via our chat room and the mailbag. And I know we have two emails at least to get through tonight. Were you able to get those up, Dark Sakura, or did you need my help?
Yeah, I was. Okay. I was.
Let's get to it.
Okay. So first email is from Robert M. I'm sure you've gotten this correction quite a bit, but yes, Donkey Kong 3 is indeed part of the NES Online Collection. Also, I don't know if everyone being... if it's everyone being home during the holidays or if it's my internet connection, but has anyone else had issues connecting to the Switch eShop over the past few weeks? That comes from Robert M. And my answer to that is no.
So you may have missed it, Dark Sakura, but I did Donkey Kong 3 as the classic game last week, and I misspoke and I said it's not on the NES collection because and it actually is. So let's just point out all of Rob's fuck ups on the night he didn't contribute anything to the big reveal.
Okay. Well,
thank you for the correction.
The next one is actually a pretty big one, and it comes from Orange Wright. Says, hello, OLR. Hello, I don't really have a question, but I was bored and decided to make a remix of Orange Lounge Radio's intro song, and I might as well share it with you. My transcribing is probably not 100% accurate, and it was really good.
I'm going to be able to play, I think I can play a clip. I'm doing this live on air. It might be really loud, so please brace yourself because I don't see a volume slider on this thing. So please brace yourself. This may come through loud, okay? But it's awesome. I'm going to play a little bit of it here. I actually don't know if it's coming through at all.
I don't hear
it's
anything.
It's not.
Darn it. Sorry, guys. I thought I had it. Let me try some light. I think I'm going to have to use this old snag here and this. Oh, this looks terrible. But let me see if it fixes the audio side of things. I actually don't know that. No. Well, unfortunately, I'm not able to play it on the show right now. Damn it. I thought that would work because I used to have stuff come through the web. Let me try one other quick thing here. Sorry, I know that looks terrible, the visual there. But I want to try doing to make sure it's coming through. I'm just looking on my settings here to see. Yeah, I thought I could get Safari to come through. Maybe if I'm going to add it real quick as a source and see what I can do. Yeah, live radio. I'm sorry, Orange Wright. You deserved a better debut here. Shucks. Well, why don't we, can we at least post the link in our chat room and then we'll post it. I'm going to post the link to the SoundCloud on Twitter if Orange Wright is okay with it. But it is a sweet remix of the opening theme. When I first heard it, I was like, OMG, this is great. And I sent it off to Dark Sakura and Loki and Orange Wright, we may want to talk to you about actually using it somewhere on the show on a regular basis. Obviously, we're going to keep the intro that we have that Dark Soccer made for us, but we can think of some other places where this would fit in great. I think you did an outstanding job, and thank you so much. And it's just like, this was news enough for me tonight between this and knowing that Pixel Poops was at least going to Steam. I'm like, oh, those are going to be some cool announcements tonight. And then everything else was just icing on the cake. So great job. Orange, right? And thank you so much for that. So yeah, it sounds great. So and Dark Sakura, that's you. So Dark Sakura, not only did you get your idea released on four different platforms now between the Vita and all of that, but now your theme song has been remixed. And what do you think about that?
I can't, but thank you.
It's great.
I mean, I worked really hard on it, so thank you.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to some final. That was it for the emails tonight, right?
Yeah.
Participate. I do. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that I have a last minute story right now.
Sure. Let me just quickly say, if anybody wants to email us in a future week, participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place to do it. So, Dark Soccer, that being said.
So basically, someone now has it to where you can run Doom on a pregnancy test.
Wait, didn't that come up on a prior show?
That was a while ago.
I did. Yeah.
Because I thought it was a more recent one.
No.
Okay, I might
be
wrong on it.
That's
okay. Never mind.
Or they got it running on a new one. It might be coming back again.
No, it's the same old one. It had an updated date on it, so never mind.
No worries.
Because I was putting that in playing on a toaster. You know, thing. So whatever.
Well, I've got a last minute news if you want.
Yeah, please.
So Twin Galaxies has filed a counterclaim against Billy Mitchell over the his lawsuit, I would believe. So it says both Billy Mitchell and Walter Day knew that these score performances were fake, but it still included the scores on Twin Galaxies score database because of their need for self-aggrandization, their avarice, and their desire to create perceived value for the database so that they could one day sell Twin Galaxies and the Twin Galaxies score database and take the money for themselves. So apparently there's a court hearing set to happen on December 11th. So I guess we'll hear more about this maybe next week.
No, I don't want to hear about it. This drama is 40 years old. This drama is 40 years old, give or take. Like, I can't believe that we still have, 3-hour YouTube. And maybe this is a cell phone because of the length of our show. I can't believe they have, 3-hour YouTubes dedicated to discussing the 99 reasons why Billy Mitchell sucks. Reason number 41 will shock you. You know, in these I just don't we have other things to do then worry about Twin Galaxies drama from the past? Like, don't we have other things now? Like, it's just... Anyway, sorry, Loki. It's not a dig at you. I realize this is what's going around in gaming culture, but I'm just like, y'all, stop. All right. That it?
That's it.
All right.
That's it.
I think it's time we wrap up the show. We're over 3 hours at this point, and like Dar Sakura said, we got to work tomorrow. But y'all made tonight wonderful. Thank you, Orange Wright. Thank you, YYR. Thank you, Loki. Thank you, chatters. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, everybody who participates with this program. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, me. thank you to everybody that, you know, helps put the show together every week. Tonight, this is just a lot of big smiles tonight all over the board, just kind of like watching like what has come of the culture of this show, even if it's a giant turd. That's actually a compliment. It's just great feelings. So if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't there to put out on air, we have to spread the word of Pixel Poops at the end of the day. That's really what it's all about. And yeah, that's what I got. I don't even remember the rest of what I'm supposed to say at the end of the show because it's just been that kind of night. 5-star review wherever you found this podcast. Auto hosting on Twitch. Don't forget the VogNetwork.com shop. I think those are all the highlights. So let's get around to everybody's final thoughts tonight. Loki, you can start because you've already hijacked this show once tonight.
I guess I'll just keep you guys updated on my progress with the game now. So we can I can openly talk about it. I can show you pictures and stuff of what I'm working on.
You can give us the straight shit.
Yes, exactly.
All right. My final thought tonight is I'm feeling great about just all of you that participate with the show and really interact with it and have made this show a part of all of our lives over the past 18 years. I'm just thrilled. And thank you, YYR, for that pleasant little surprise you dropped on us tonight. I love it. So, and of course Loki, but he already knows that. Jamie, last but not least.
Shit. Shit.
And that's really all that needs to be said. We hope you have an amazing week, everybody, and we'll see you in 7 days for some new shit. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.